The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 27th day of June 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 124 points. S&P up 13. Comp up 29. Gold is flat, up $1.10. Crude is up $1.70 a barrel. Happy Thursday. Wow, we're closing in on the end of another week. And what a great week it has been. We're heading into a holiday week, 4th of July, next Thursday. We will be broadcasting live the entire week, Monday through Wednesday. We'll be in the live trading room each morning, and we'll do the radio show each day. We will take the 4th of July off, spend time with our families, and just, you know, think about what 4th of July really means to each and every one of us as Americans who live in a free country. Sometimes we think it's not free. Oh, there's so many laws and there's regulations and there's taxes. All you have to do is set foot outside of this country. And no matter where you go, you're quickly reminded what a great place it is, this America, this place that we call home. We take a lot for granted. Don't want to make anybody feel guilty. I want to help you to feel grateful. Okay. And we'll talk about some of the things we have to be grateful for. I know this isn't Thanksgiving, but as we lead up to the 4th of July, the day that marks our independence as a nation, So much has happened over the years, and we do have so very much to be thankful for. And, of course, men and women have given their lives for the freedoms that, again, too often we take for granted. But welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, you can do one of two things. You can listen to the audio stream, or you can participate in the broadcast. To do that, you go to CFRN.net. On the right-hand side of the page, there will be a great big microphone. Click that. Follow the instructions. That will allow you to come into the chart room, see our charts live in real time, participate in the discussion. To participate in the discussion, you simply type your questions or comments right into the chat box. We'll be happy to look at your favorite market, your favorite stock, or if you just have a question about something, about our trading methodology, our indicators, whatever it might be, again, we're happy to answer your questions. Now, the only people who can see what you type into that box are myself, my co-host Michael, and our broker Bert, if he manages to drop in. I don't know if he'll be with us today, but if he is, that's it. Just the three of us. So don't ever hold back on a question. Don't ever think that, well, you know, somebody's going to think less of me because I don't already know this. Please don't live your life like that. If you don't know, ask. Because once you find out, once you have that knowledge, nobody can ever take it from you. So be hungry. Be thirsty for truth. And we're going to do our very best to serve that up for you today right here on this radio program. Dose after dose of nothing but the truth. Because why? Because the truth will set you free. Tonight is a partners meeting. Every Thursday night we gather with the partners behind closed doors at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we talk and we hash it out and we answer questions and we look at setups. And we have a standing promise to the partners that we never close that meeting until every question has been answered. That makes for some late nights, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. There have been nights it was after midnight, when we Eastern time, when we close that meeting. We like to keep it to an hour, hour and a half if possible, but we are committed to the partners, so we're going to stick in there with you as long as it takes to make sure every question that you have is answered to your satisfaction. And that's based on the fact that there is an answer to your question. If you want to know the meaning of life, that is probably going to take a little longer than a couple of hours to try to convey that. But I'm just kidding, okay? So I hope you're there. If you're a partner, if you can't make it, we do record those. And when you become a partner, you'll have access to every partner's meeting that has ever taken place. All 100 and, I don't know, 15, 18, 120, I forget what number we're at right now. But we recorded each and every one of those. So when you become a partner today, you benefit from 2 years of partners meetings, the history, all the questions. It's a tremendous resource to have at your fingertips to watch, to listen, to learn anytime you have. See, when you become a partner, this is not a spectator sport. No, you're going to be very, very busy and you're going to work very, very hard for 90 days. You're going to be consumed with the markets. You're going to wake up thinking about the markets. You're going to have markets for breakfast and lunch and your nap in the afternoon. You're going to dream about markets. You'll wake up and you'll go back to work, looking at charts, marking them up, watching videos, asking questions. It really is. It's like a 90-day boot camp, guys, if you allow it to be. Now, you can take the passive approach. But as with most things in life, you kind of get out of it what you put into it. Now, we can't guarantee you that you'll be a successful trader, but we do guarantee you that we'll stay up late every night if need be in order to share with you everything that we know about trading e-mini futures. Now, whether you can translate that into success as a trader or not, ultimately, will be up to you. It's like baseball. I could take you out in my front yard, or probably better if I went in the backyard. I can teach you how to play baseball. I don't know if you're going to ever become a baseball player. Let me say that again. I can teach you how to play baseball, I just don't know if you'll ever become a baseball player. I have someone in the chat box here that says, I'm trying to participate in the live discussion, but I cannot see the charts. Michael, are you there?
I am here. Send it over.
Well, he's already gone, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy down his email address.
Okay. Send that over.
I'm going to send that over to you. How about that?
That will.
Oh, you know what? I'll just pop it right here into the chat box.
That will work.
I'll send it to you there.
Okay.
And I don't have to launch my email app.
Right.
Okay. And his question was, how do I do everything I just said? And he might have typed that in before I said it. I don't know. All right, guys, we're going to go to our good word for the day. That's what we do. We start out with our daily devotional. Oh, speaking of daily devotionals, we gather every morning online at 9 a.m. Eastern for about 20 minutes of prayer, share scripture. It's not a religious get-together. Nobody passes the collection plate. We just gather, share scripture, pray, and get on with our day. It's a great way to start the day, by the way. You're welcome to join us. All you have to do is Google Traders Prayer Breakfast. Okay? That's easier than me giving you a link. Just Google Traders Prayer Breakfast. Click the link. It's got the phone number. It's a conference call. And we'd love to have you with us. Okay? And then each day, right now, we do our good word for the day. After that, Michael is going to recap everything that happened in the live trading room today. We had a great day, so you're going to enjoy this. After Michael is finished, we'll go to Mr. David Williams at PageTrader.com. We'll get his take on the markets. And then I'll hang out a little bit today for the after show and go over any questions that you have. We'll take a little closer look at some of the charts. And let's see, I think I skipped the part where I go over this hourly chart for a moment and share a headline or two with you. So that's what's coming up in the next 2 hours. Buckle in. It's going to be fun. All right, our good word for the day comes from Matthew 6:33. It's about a material world. Here's what it says. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And one of the toughest pressures working against the family unit is materialism. Kids keep the pressure on the parents to have what their friends have. He's got this game. He's got, you know, whatever, this bicycle. Husbands put pressure on their wives to go to work, even though the wife might prefer to be at home. Wives often make it clear to their husbands how dissatisfied they are with what they have. The house, the car, the drapes, the couch, causing the husband to feel like an unappreciated failure. And to top it all off, advertisers add fuel to the fire by convincing us that every product is the gateway to happiness. The model we currently have, well, that's just so 2012. But the new product, the XL model, oh, baby, if we can get that, happiness is ours. And materialism often rationalized as a concern for the family. Now, hear that, the materialism, okay, often rationalized as a concern for, the, well, I'm just trying to do what's best for the kids. No, you want that big screen. The OLE one that curves, that they just launched in Korea yesterday for $13,000. Yeah, you're getting it for the kids. All right. It has an unfortunate way of creating enormous dissatisfaction within the family. We've seen evidence of that through our economic downturn when families once able to buy whatever they wanted are no longer able to buy their way into what they once considered to be happiness. But Jesus had a better idea. It almost seems un-American in our culture of consumerism. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness as described in the Bible, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does that mean we don't have to work hard or that we shouldn't work hard? Absolutely not. In fact, the Bible says he who does not work shall not eat. No, friend, we are called to work and work hard if we're able, okay? But it does have to do with priorities that will help your family stay together. God, as the center of a home, unites the family. Materialism tears it apart. And that's our good word for the day. Let's go to the chart. The chart in front of me, S&P 500 E-mini Futures. This is the hourly chart. I'm going to back up real quick to the beginning of the week. We're going to move through this quickly. Sunday night, Globex Open. When I am available, I tweet the Globex Open. I haven't missed a Sunday night now in a while. And our Twitter timeline is public. Go to twitter.com/CFRN. You can see every tweet going back a couple of years. Okay. Last Friday, we tweeted to be short below 1590. That worked out beautifully. The markets dropped 20 points, rallied back up to test the important area at 1590, and then sold off into the close. Sunday night on the Globex Open, we said to consider being short below 1575. That tweet took us all the way down to 1554. That was 20. How many points was that, Michael? From 75 to 54, that was 21.
21 points.
Yeah. Okay. We then went back to test the important area at 75. And just to be cautious, I said this time let's consider being short below 1572. The initial move down took us 6 points to 1566. We went back to test the important area at 1572, and that drop took us all the way down to, let's see, the swing low there was 1558. So from 72 to 58 on that second swing. All right, the markets got turned around. We made a rally. We broke above our weekly trading zone here at 1570/71. Price rallied up, pulled back into the zone for support, and then made the dash up to 1583.84. That is a 12-point move from 71 to 83, 12 points up. And then at the next zone, we anticipate that to act as resistance until proven otherwise. Price reversed, came back down 12 points to the zone where we would expect the market to find support, which it did. Did an about face, went back up to the zone for a 12-point move to find resistance again at the 83.84 zone where we found resistance and it reversed. At this time, on the way back down, it could only get to 73, 2 points away from the zone. Zones are an area, by the way. Now, we do get accustomed to them churning, you know, right at the zone. Okay, but don't be lulled into a false sense of complacency. It is an area. It got to the area, and the bulls took control. They ran it up, took it into the next zone. Okay. We had a tweet that said, consider being long above 1589. Price broke above 89, ran up to the next zone at 97, 98, where it found resistance, came back to test the important area. So that important area is almost always the number we've tweeted from, comes back to test 89. So 8 points up, 8 points back down, and then 8 points back up to the zone. And when I wrote, let's see, today's Thursday. So Tuesday night, I wrote about the market being comfortably numb as it was just kind of hanging out. And then last night, I wrote about the same thing. Price was just oscillating in this area right here around the weekly trading zone. That will happen. A zone sometimes will become like a center of gravity. And so this went on for, on this final move up into the close, we hit the zone. So eight up, eight back down, eight back up. And then this little 1 point range, 97, 98, we go sideways for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours. Okay? But patience is a virtue. We put this tweet out to be long above 1605 at the end of the radio program yesterday. So all night we waited. We were patient. No trigger. This morning we get triggered to be long above 1605. Market rallied up 11 points, okay? Got to 1614, which is 3 points shy of the zone at 1617. Now it's reversing to come back in. That's right. Test the important area at 1605. Now, are we going to just buy 1605 because that's an important area and the market should test it? Well, you can, but you don't have to. See, you can wait, be patient again. Okay, we've already had an 11-point move off of that area. By the way, if you become a CFRN partner, we're going to teach you to have a goal every day of a couple points. So on a 5-day week, that's 10 points. This move here was 11. That's a week. That's a weak maker right there. It's one move. But I digress. We're coming back to test 1605. So do you have to just jump on that and get long or park an order or whatever terminology you've been taught to use? No. You can let it come back and test the area. You can literally sit here and watch the market find good support at that area first. See, you don't have to buy it as it comes into the area. Why not buy it as it's leaving the station? Because there's a chance that this 1605 doesn't pass the test, right? I always talk about how it comes back like over here. See how it came back to test the important area? Okay, it passed the test, right? Because price went right back up. Could it fail the test here? Sure, it could. There was some commentary this morning, kind of the opposite of what Bernanke had to say the other day. Market sold off initially on his comments. What was that guy's name, Michael?
I forgot what his name is. I'll tell you
was
in a second.
Denny, or what's that fellow's name? Anyway, he said, you know, everybody's all worried about the Fed changing their policy. We'll go over those comments later during the show. But he was trying to put everybody at ease, I believe. And the market actually sold off initially, but then they kind of deciphered what he was saying, I guess. We call it the rally. Dudley, that's it. Denny, I don't know where I got that. But anyway, so we're coming back to test 1605. Let's let it get back here. Let's go look at a four-tick range chart. Just real quick. Michael's going to be showing you this in a moment. See, as price comes down and we get to this 1605 area, once we get here and test it, watch as Michael walks you through the trade setup today for one of these trades. Here's the bearish cross, the price pull away, the price pull back, close below the trend line, beautiful little trade on the short side. This whole thing, once we get to 1605, if we're going to have a move back up to the zone, then this whole thing will unfold in reverse. Okay? And so you don't have to be in a rush. You don't have to be in a hurry. Just calm, cool, collected. Let it turn around. And then take your trade on the long side. Okay? And I'll walk you through. As it happens during the show today, I'll bring up live charts. I'll bring up the four-tick range chart. And we'll walk through it together, okay? Live in real time. But again, we're going to wait. We're going to be patient here and let it test 1605. Yesterday, a number of people who stayed with me after the radio program during the after show were very anxious to get long in this area. David yesterday had spoke about 1601. That was an area in his work that was important for him. Sure enough, price did come up. It actually swung up to 1601 and a quarter right here on this candle. And everyone was watching it, and there was a lot of people, you know, messaging me going, hey, I should get long here, right? And I'm like, no, just be patient. Let this candle finish, okay? Let it tell its story. And see what happened? We closed back inside of the zone and left this wick. up above. Okay. Before this even happened, I drew a scenario with my little crude drawing tool. I go, what if this is what happens when this candle is finished? Because remember, use your imagination for a minute. At one point during the life of this candle, this was a great big green candle. Big old bullish candle, right? Green all the way to the top. Man, it looked like it was going to the moon. I said, but let's wait. I remember saying we've only got 14 minutes left in this candle. It could change. We've only got 13 minutes left. It could change. We've only got 12 minutes left. Now look what happened. It changed, right? And then we went sideways for 16 hours. But we finally got our trade. Okay. I won't have time for headlines today. There was nothing really earth-shattering, but a couple that are of interest. And when David comes on, once we exchange pleasantries, as we do every day, we'll wind our way through the markets, and I will weave, like a tapestry, I'll weave some of these stories into our commentary. How about that? As soon as Michael is done with the recap, we've got Mike Reed hanging out in the green room. He's going to join us for a bit today. He's got a new headset. He's hoping it's going to work. He's had trouble the last couple days. He's tried to come and join us, but he had headset issues. But he'll be coming on today. We haven't had a chance to talk to Mike since his last trading camp, so I'm certainly looking forward to that. Michael, let me turn things over to you.
All right.
It's all yours, and we just tested 1605.
Sweet. We were saying that. 1605. And a break of that, we should go down to the zone below.
We're not looking for a break of it, though. We're looking forward to
it. We're looking for a bounce. Back. Yeah, we're looking for a bounce of that. Let me grab the charts. And here we go.
Okay, I'm going to mute, okay. And right. I'll be standing by.
All right. Now everyone should be looking at my charts. Yes, you are. All right, let's start my recording up, and we'll get rolling. Wow, look at those soybeans. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 27th day of June, 2013. It is a Thursday. Partners meeting tonight. Reminder for all the partners. Partners meeting. Also, a reminder to anyone who is on the free trial, if you want to become a partner, you should have something in your inbox right now. If you were on the free trial today, you should have something in your inbox right now. Take a look at it. If you need any help with it, give me a call. All right. I believe my phone number is in there somewhere. All right. So we are recording. All right. The results for today, we were plus three on soybeans. We were plus 23 on crude oil, we're plus 18 on gold, and plus 7 on copper. All right. That brought our total for the month to $4,740 per contract. And I think I'm going to, hopefully tomorrow we'll hit $5,000 per contract. I didn't think we were going to hit the 6292 level. We got off, I don't want to say we got off to a slow start this month, but we had a couple of slow days this month. You know, there was rollover month. We rolled over a bunch of things, as a matter of fact. We rolled over natural gas this morning, but it was a big rollover month, and so we didn't make $6,200 per contract this month. I'm looking for $5,000 per contract tomorrow, hopefully. This morning it took us 6 minutes and one trade to get to our $100 per contract goal of the day. All right, 6 minutes and one trade. We took a total of 12 trades today. If you use an $8 round turn commission and you apply that to every single trade we've taken so far this month, all 226 trades we've taken so far this month in the live trading room, you would still be net a plus $2,932 gain per contract in the live trading room. All right, and you know that's when I'm trading eight different markets and you know answering questions from hundreds of people. You guys should actually be doing better than that. Though today, you know, we had a really good day today. We're up $535 per contract. On the days where I'm not up great, like, you know, yesterday, I just made it. I just made the break even. Of course, we had a 40-minute delay yesterday morning because of the charts. But the day before that, I just made the 2 points. You know, this week hasn't been a stellar week as far as getting the 2 points. We did get it every day. But on those days, you guys should be doing much better than I am because you do not, or should not be missing the trades that I'm missing. All right, So today, let's just start right off with crude oil, okay? That was our first trade of the day was in crude. That's where we hit our 2 points early on. And it was right here. Right here. Our very first trade of the morning right here was a down close. Down close right in here. We shorted the crude, and we took 10 ticks profit right there. Okay. The market changed directions, moved up. We got long the crude over here, and we took 7 ticks profit on that one. We got long again over here, and we took some more profit on that one. And we're up 23 ticks on crude, so I guess we took 6 ticks profit on that. And it looks like I had one more break-even trade. Was it on the crude? Yeah, that's it. One more break-even trade right in here is all I took. It's not to say that there weren't more opportunities. There were. Right in here, there was a long trade. Over here, I think there might have been some room for a long trade. But it got flat in here, and that's when I had drawn in these boxes in here, and I said it needed to break out of those boxes. And once it did, I got long again. I ended up taking a break even on this trade. I missed this one. I missed this up here, but that was at the end of the morning session. Okay, during the break, I got flat in here, and right now it's actually short. It's given shorting opportunities. I believe if I blow this up, we should have been short on that orange bar. Enjoy your trend line up. The down close is right there, bearish divergence. The spot to get short would have been right there. Okay? That's what we had on crude. I'm going to go through these markets quickly because I know Mike's out there waiting, and he came in the other day, and we couldn't get him going. So on the Russell, I had a couple of trades on the Russell. Okay? I had a loss. That was, you know, what Dwayne was saying earlier about me making the 2 points and then giving it right back. I made the 2 points here on the crude, and that was after the first 6 minutes. And then I gave it right back right here. All right, I took a long trade over here on the Russell, and I lost 8 ticks on that trade right there. Okay, I didn't trade the Russell again for a while. There were some trading opportunities in here. I missed them all until I got this one over here. And I took 8 ticks profit on that, and that put me a break even on the Russell. That was my last trade on the Russell this morning. All right, there was a shorting opportunity in here, then it changed directions, and you wouldn't need a bullish divergence, but it got into the weekly trading zone, so you're not going long. All right, that is the Russell this morning. Paul, if I look closely at my trend line on the first Russell trade, I entered one bar too late, in your opinion. Well, let's look closely. On my first Russell trade, it's probably... Well, I entered on the up close of this bar. On this one, this is borderline right here because it was a close right at the trend line. You know, my trend line's drawn pretty well right there. It was a close right at the trend line. If I would have gotten in at this one right here, I might have taken a little bit of profit. I would have gotten a break even at worst. I wouldn't have stopped out. But, you know, I waited for the up close above there for the continuation. And unfortunately, it didn't give me anything. But remember yesterday when you and I talked, how it flattened out in the middle. Remember? The line should come down in the middle of the bar. Okay, I'm not going to do that right now in the recap. It may very well do that, Paul. It may very well come right down in the middle. I'm sure if you say it does, it does. But I traded what I traded. You know, when it's right on the bar like that, that's not really a close up above. It's a close at. And, you know, if you have a lot of momentum in the market, then that's one of those opportunities where you have to make a decision about whether you're going to take it or not. And if there's a lot of momentum and it closes right at the trend line, then maybe you're willing to take that. I don't think we had a lot of momentum at that time. It was right in the first 15 minutes anyway. Anyway, let's jump on to the next market, okay? Because I don't want to delay Mike Reed's time. All right, this is gold. We took a few trades here on gold. Let's see. Gold had a bunch of opportunities that I missed. It was a nice one right here, a beautiful trade right here on gold. It was a perfect opportunity, came together just right. Had another one right here, another one right here, another one right here. This is finally one we got into over here. We took a little bit of profit on it. We missed a couple more in here. Now, when I say we missed these trades, I mean, we actually really missed them. We didn't see them happen, or I wasn't able to put my order on fast enough, or whatever. But there was, this trade right here is about 20 ticks. This is about 20 ticks. This is about 20 ticks. This is about 20 ticks. See, 20, 40, 60, 80. That's $800 per contract. Let's say you cut that in half and you only get 10. That's $400 per contract. And then I got this one over here. I only took 4 ticks profit on this, but that went about 10 ticks. There's a lot of opportunity there. Gary, I would say it's a disadvantage. The question was, is it an advantage or disadvantage to use momentum bars instead of range bars? I would say it's a disadvantage because you can have gaps in momentum bars. You don't get gaps in the range bars. Okay, right here, you see there was another opportunity there and there that I missed. This is one that I took over here, I believe. I got 8 ticks profit out of this one right here. I missed the follow-up right there. I missed another one here. I took some profit on this one over here. I think I took 6 ticks profit out of that. And I missed another one in there. I had drawn this box in here. I don't remember why I drew the box, maybe because it was consolidating. But there was an opportunity to short out of that, and another short right here. This one would have lost. Okay, out of all the ones that I pointed out so far, this one right here would have lost. There was another opportunity to short here that would have won, another there that would have won, another there that would have won. In here, this would have been a break-even. Okay, and that was pretty much the end of the morning session. All right. Yeah, that's me, Frank. And that pretty much would have been the end of the morning session. Right in here, there's another opportunity on the long side, but that was during the break. Let's see where we are right now. Right now, we pulled back up, tested the BBC. Let me blow this up for you so you can see it a little better. Okay? We pulled back up and tested the BBC with bearish divergence in a red cycle. So you just needed the down close. The short would have been from right there. Okay, the short would have been from right there at 29.2. And that drop from 29.2 down to 28. That's $120 a contract right there. All right? Just wanted to show that to you. Now, let's jump over here. We traded copper and soybeans. So let's look at the soybeans first. I believe on the beans, we only had this one trade on the beans right here. We shorted the down close right here, and we took 3 ticks profit on the trade. It went farther than that, but I had moved my stop down plus a few ticks. Okay. Does the news affect my trading decisions? It doesn't affect my decisions, other than the decision not to trade while the news is coming out. That's the only decision that it would make. You know, I don't say, okay, well, you know, like today is a good example. You know, we had, what was it, housing starts or something like that. We had some bullish information that came out. And you would think that the market's going to go up based on bullish information, but the market actually went down initially based on the bullish information. Bullish information. And, you know, that's, I don't care whether it's going up or down as long as it's moving one way or the other. You know, I trade what's in front of me. I don't trade what I hear. I trade what I see, if that makes sense to you. That's, you know, technical traders. That's what we do, not fundamental. I can't say that word, Lori. but it kind of seemed like it almost fell out of my mouth, though, didn't it? All right, what are we on? We're on soybeans. We were looking for another opportunity in the soybeans. I didn't take this one. I didn't like the way that it came together. We'll go over this in the partners meeting tonight. I was looking to get long over here. But unfortunately, there was just no way. There was no way we could do it. We tried and we tried and we tried, and we played with the whole thing, and then it changed directions. And so there was no way to get long, and the only trade there was over here was a short from way down here. Okay, I'll draw the trend line. See, the trend line goes, oops, that's not a great trend line, but get the picture. The trend line goes like that, and it's a down close below the trend line. It's coming together again right now. Like that. Okay. Yeah, bearish divergence. You could still take that there. The gold that I mentioned a few minutes ago, right here, 29.2, dropped all the way down at 26.7. That's $250 a contract, and it's still going. A down close on this bar would be a continuation trade right there, 26.4. All right. Let's slide that off. Let's go to the copper. All right, I'm not going to look at markets that I didn't trade this morning. I'm just going to look at the markets that I did trade. Okay. That 26.4 just dropped all the way down to 25.6. Okay, 25.6, that's $80 a contract in that 10 seconds there. Over here on the copper, we had a bullish cross and a pullback. This up close right here, we got long on the up close of that white bar right there, and we took 3 ticks profit on that trade. We had another opportunity over here. I took 4 ticks profit on this short trade off the BBC. That was it for copper for us. Okay, that was all we had for copper. There were more opportunities here in the, you know, during the break. There were more opportunities. It was another long opportunity right in here. We didn't put in a close above the swing, so I wouldn't have taken this one, but this one right here we sure would have taken. Okay. That is it. That is it. That trade over here from 26.4 dropped all the way down to 25.5 in just a couple of seconds there. That's $90 a contract on gold. All right. Today is Thursday. There's a partners meeting tonight. If you are not currently a partner and you want to get into the partners meeting, you must become a partner. If you don't know how to become a partner, send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net. Just say partner info in the title, and we will get you all the information you need to become a partner. If you are a partner, obviously, I just reminded you, there's a partners meeting tonight. If you have anything you want us to go over in the partners meeting tonight, send it to us ahead of time if you can, so we can be a little better prepared for it. We would like to get started right at 9 o'clock tonight, and we would like to finish before midnight tonight. But you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll answer all the questions, as we always do, and we'll go as long as we have to. All right. That's it, guys. I'm going to wrap up the recording here so we can get out to Mike. Recording is done. Dwayne? I'm going to head out to Mike Reed.
Mike? Okay, I am right here. Guys, so far, price has ran back up. Buyer stepped in a tick early at 16.05 and a quarter. Remember, we were coming down talking about testing at 16.05. I've taught you about how they'll come in early at a high probability area. They've already driven it back up to 16.09 and a quarter. So, in the time that it took Michael to do the recap, we bounced 4 points. As I wrote last night, and as I will continue to write as long as this keeps going, these are the good old days. Mike Reed, welcome to the show.
I haven't heard him turn his mic on yet.
I heard him in the background a few minutes right before you started the recap.
Okay.
I thought I did. Oh, man.
He's going to have to call in.
Hey, Mike, is there a chance you can do that? I know you got the iPhone 5. Can you dial in?
All right, I'm looking for messages in there.
I don't have my email client open. Do you?
I do.
I don't know if he's got you on speed mail or not. Let's see what I got. Nope, I don't see anything.
Yeah, his mic's open. His mic is open. On our end, it's open.
Okay.
All right.
Have my old headset on, so I don't understand. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I wish I knew how to help you. Is there any way maybe you could just put on speakerphone and dial in to – I can give you the number. Or it's actually – you've got the number there in the GoToWebinar, the phone number. So
Yeah, that happens to be.
Oh, you know what? Oh, Mike, maybe you've got telephone ticked in your GoToWebinar box, and you need to tick the little box mic and speakers. It might be that. That might be it. His little icon by his name, Michael, is it a telephone receiver or
it
the other
is,
thing?
Let me just look again. It is a microphone.
It is a microphone. Okay.
Yep, it is a microphone. Now, this happens to me sometimes, too, if I disconnect my headset from one computer and I connect it into another computer and then I reconnect it to the one that had GoToWebinar running, mm-hmm. my headset doesn't work. Typically, what I have to do is log out of GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar and log back in, and that will do it.
Well, Mike, here's the deal, brother. I know this stresses you out when this happens, but don't be stressed. you can break in. We're going to go ahead and keep talking, but you get that thing working, man. Just start talking, okay, because we really want to chat with you. We want to know how the trading camp went and just how things in general have been going. But we'll continue on with the show to kind of take the pressure off you, but keep trying. Keep trying to get that thing to work. Maybe dial in on the phone, whatever it takes, because we do want to chat. And with that, guys, I guess we'll head out to Las Vegas, talk to David. We are going to be here next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll take Thursday off, do a little barbecue, shoot a little couple fireworks. Where do you go for fireworks, Michael? What do you do?
Well, we have them in our town. We also have them in towns next to ours, so it depends. You know, we could do that.
You sound like you live in a Jimmy Stewart movie or something. Well, we have them in my town.
Well, you know, in Boston this year, it's not going to be any fun to be in the city because of the bombing that happened.
Oh, yeah. Bad memories there for sure.
Yeah, so it is definitely not going to be fun to be in the city.
Do they float a barge out into the harbor? Is that what they typically do?
Oh, yeah, they have two of them usually. When I lived on Memorial Drive, I was on the ninth floor, and I had a deck that looked out at the city. Mm. And they used to float the barge. You know, I was right on Memorial Drive, which is right on the Charles, and they used to float the barge right in the river, right in front of my deck. So I had, you know, a ninth floor viewing of the fireworks from there. It was awesome. Hmm. But that was then.
When we lived in Portland is so neat. When you go downtown, you've got two rivers coming together, the Columbia and the Willamette. And they like meet right there in downtown Phoenix. So you've got the bridges, and you've got all these wonderful grassy little park areas all alongside of the river. And they would do the same thing there. They had the barges. They float out and do the fireworks. Really, really nice. And July happens to be the one month in Portland where it doesn't rain every day. So that's nice. And if any of you have ever watched that TV show Portlandia, that really is what Portland's like. Have you watched it, Michael?
I haven't watched that. No, I haven't. I've been to Portland once.
But it's over the top and you know, maybe a little rough and crude for some in the audience, but that really is what Portland's like. And I mean that with, you know, love in my heart. It is a unique place. My boss had sent me there to open a sales office, and we were used to, you know, people with a lot of, I better not even go there. Let's just say that the workforce in Portland was very different from what we were used to in Phoenix and in Southern California. There wasn't as much of a drive, you know, type of spirit. It was kind of a little more laid back. You know, now I'm not saying that people didn't have a good work ethic. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it was, well, everybody smoked a little bud on the way to work. And so by the time they got there, they were pretty mellow, you know. And when you wanted to whip them into a frenzy as a sales team, you know, to hit the phones and do something extraordinary, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But we had a good time during the few years that we were there. We did. No, we moved there in October. It was raining the day we moved into town. And I didn't see the sunshine, literally. Did not see the sun till April or May. There were some days where I saw like this shiny object back behind the clouds. But actually see the sun? No. And I just kept wishing it would rain because it never really did rain during that whole time. It just sort of drizzled, you know. It's like, oh, man, if it would just rain and get it over with. But when the drizzle stops, the clouds part, and the sun does come out, wow. Talk about green as far as the eye can see. And from Portland, if you drive 1 hour east, you're snow skiing. And if you drive 1 hour west, you're on the beach. And you live right in between two beautiful rivers, so really a great place. I have a family that they followed us up there, and they're still there. They put down roots and stayed when the company I worked for brought me back here. That was quite a number of years ago. Anyway, we were going to Vegas, and all right, let's do it. There was one other thing I wanted to share, and I forget what it was. I'll think of it later, guys, and I'll bring it up. All right, we're going to Vegas. Talk to David from PageTrader.com. Robin will be here tomorrow for the Coach's Corner. Releasing Kings is not an every Friday show. It's an every other Friday show. If you missed last Friday's show with author John Garfield of the book by the same name, Releasing Kings, go to the blog, check that out, get caught up, and then tune in next Friday. But Robin will be here at 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for, I believe it's episode 20 or 21 of the Coach's Corner. So let us pause for a brief station identification, and we'll be...
Hey,
you made it. All right.
Hey, it's Mike Reed. How you doing, man?
Hey, it's Mike.
I made it. I dialed in.
Good.
Okay. You sound good.
He's my iPhone, so I have a few minutes.
All right, man. Well, tell us, we haven't talked to you in a couple weeks, I think. Since we talked to you last, you had your trading camp, right?
Oh, yeah. Camp went great. We had a... We had a good session. The volatility was good. We had lots of good stuff, lots of good action for them to learn the stuff, and they all picked it up pretty well, I believe.
Do you agree with me, Mike, that these are the good old days again?
Oh yeah, I hope this doesn't stop here. I don't think summertime's gonna slow it down, but yeah, these are the good old days. So. If you've been leery of trading the ES because it hasn't been very volatile, it's time to get back in the water. But yeah, I mean the gap, getting back-to-back gap days here. This would be three days up in a row. I don't think we've had that since April. I know at the bottom there we had, my indicators were all pretty much in buy territory. The VIX exploded it almost up to 20. Didn't quite make it to 22, but there was a lot of panic. I see the big down day before there were like only about 142 stocks that traded up on the day. That's a real sign of this is on the before the first push down. So we had like a momentum low and then a price low that followed about the next day. And that set up the rally. It's gone further than I thought it would, but I guess that's okay. So still has good upside momentum and a good trend. They'd have to take out, for me today, they were on the pullback. We had to come back down and, stay under 1606, and I think I heard you say 1605 was your number.
That's the number that we tweeted out, Mike, to get long. We got long at 05, and we wrote that up, and now we've come back to test it, and we came within one tick of testing the 05. We got to 05 and a quarter, and the buyers came in, and now they've run it all the way back up to 9 and a quarter. 9.5. There we go. And so
9.5.
We've got a zone sitting overhead up at 17. That's our next weekly trading zone overhead. And so that's what we're on this push. That's where we're looking to go. Do you have a number up that high today?
I have 18.
So. You got 18? Okay, great. Well, that makes me feel good, because then I know that my number certainly has a better shot when you're and if David comes on and he has a number up in that neighborhood, then everyone can feel It's like a trifecta, right?
There you go. Yeah. That's a trifecta. You been in the racetrack?
Man, I used to have a boss who would drag me. He would take me off the phones or whatever, and a guy would take me to the racetrack. He was the worst handicapper that ever lived. But, man, did he love the ponies and the dogs. I mean, he literally loved it. He was so passionate about it. And I used to pray that God would somehow allow him to get a little bit better at it, you know? so he wouldn't lose so much money. George Mann, if you're out there, it's been 20 years, man. Call me. I've searched high and low for that guy. I can't find him anywhere. I was a young guy, like 21. He took me under his wing. He mentored me. He taught me everything I know about sales and different things. And then he just vanished. He was always sort of an odd bird, but a lovable odd bird. And I had a lot of respect for him. And this guy, on my wedding, when I got married, you know what this guy gave me for a wedding gift? An alarm clock. So I wouldn't be late for work. It was one of those old-timey kinds with the big bells up on top and the little hammer that goes back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... But there was definitely a subliminal message there, like, I'd appreciate if you come to work on time. So.
Yeah. That sounds that way. Yeah. I can tell you, my struggling wasn't with the ponies, but was with football and basketball games in college. There was, I won't go into that, but actually did really, really well and was considering that as a livelihood, believe it or not, even that or at the time they had certain top services too that people would pay a lot of money for your picks if they were good. So, and we won't go into it. It was college days, and I had a friend who was kept a book, and so it was interesting. But I thought at one time it would be a way to make a living, but not an easy one and not a legal one, so stayed away from it after that. But it was fun.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, statistics, and you really crunch the numbers if you're going to not just guess at stuff.
Right.
I mean, and you're down to who the referees were, so and took about everything into account. And they had a thing called the gold sheet. It may still be around, but had all the information that you might ever want as a, if you're going to place a bet on a sporting event. But, I had a friend of boys who would come back from the cigar shop and bring a gold sheet by. What do you like here?
When I lived in Portland, I was talking about living in Portland a little while ago. They had, as part of the state lottery, you could bet on basketball games. You could bet on every team except the Trailblazers. They didn't want you betting on the Trailblazers, because if you took your son to the game and the Trailblazers won, but you were pulling your hair out and throwing things because they didn't cover the spread, it would be like confusing to your kid. And so they just, And football, you could bet on football too. And I got into the three-team parlays for a while, but then when we left Oregon and moved back to Phoenix, I don't think I ever watched another game start to finish, because without having that vested interest in the outcome, money, I don't have that sports gene that, most, like yourself. I mean, you were a professional baseball player, so you know that better than anybody. Got nothing against it at all. It just doesn't grab my attention the way it does most guys.
So. Yeah. Well, it does definitely put your interest in the game. I don't know. That's how people are with the Super Bowl. They may not watch a game all year, but come Super Bowl time, they'll have a bet on everything. They even have a bet on a coin flip.
You know what? Let me bring David in real quick. I know he wants to say hi to you, and I know you can't stay too long, so let me do this real quick, okay?
Sure, okay.
Gonna hang tight? All right, sit tight.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit. absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David, good morning, and welcome to the show.
And good morning, Mike Reed. Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you, David. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good, and thank you so much, and good morning, Michael Bork, as well, if he's still with us.
No, he had to go down. He's getting a new garage door. He had to go supervise that little project.
Okay. Well, Mike, how are you? You've already told everybody how you are, but tell me how you are.
Doing just fine, David. Thanks for
I'm
asking.
Glad. I'm glad to hear that. Well, good. It's what is your weather like out there?
Let's see. We have finally a partly cloudy day. It's been raining a little bit, but typical spring here. And, you know, we get it sunny in 85. Today partly cloudy and probably in a high 70s, but all in all, not bad. We're getting there.
You sound like a weatherman.
April showers bring May flowers.
Oh,
and what do May flowers bring?
They bring pilgrims.
Pilgrims. Good job.
I have kids.
Wow. That's an old one.
Yeah.
That's really old.
That really is.
David's material, right?
Yeah. You're going down my street here. Anyway, well, that's great, Michael. Mike, we're having very hot weather here. It's going to be 108 today. It'll be 113 tomorrow. It'll be 115 over the weekend. So Dwayne also is going to get very, very hot weather, hotter than that.
I think you might be able to get a tan in that kind of.
You can actually get a tan indoors, actually, and they're they're sending people that normally would use chemotherapy. They're just sitting them in the backyard, and they can get all the radiation they might need from the sun. You know, so I always joke about that. What's that?
They might get a few lights in the casino.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, when you go to the dentist and they always tell you, okay, we're going to take a little picture of your tooth, so they put the machine next to your head. And if you say, well, you know, how much radiation is coming out of this? Oh, no, it's no problem at all. It's like you're getting like 30 seconds worth of sun. It's nothing. Don't even think twice about it. And then they dive out of the room before they flip the switch. I've always wondered about that. If it's so little and it's so harmless, how come there's never anybody anywhere near me when they're taking a picture? Anyway.
They have to do it hundreds of times. I think a cumulative effect is what they're worried about.
But. Yeah, that's probably true. But anyway, I think it's a little more radiation than they might be letting on.
Yeah.
You know? When they tell you need to have 16 x-rays taken, just say no. No, just like that.
Actually, I've been through that before where I was at, had me in a, isolation because I was under radiation, they'd come into the room in their lead vest and stuff of a bone infection type of deal. I had to be healed through chemo.
Okay.
Department, the name of the department now, but I had a pretty big, long name anyways. They would come in with their lead stuff on.
It's like, no, everything's fine, Mike. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's just fine. You know.
I asked if I would be like glow in the those, like I said, bulbs that would glow in the dark, I guess, light bulbs that are lighting up. I might be one of them guys. But
well, hopefully medical science, and I'm very bullish on the medical field, because medicine is going to make incredible breakthroughs. Just, they already have, but we're entering a period in the next, 100 years. I mean, this is a big picture thing, but medicine is going to just go through the roof. They're going to come up with with the nanotechnology, the little thing, microscopic things that can be put inside of you, and and it goes on and on and on. I can't go into all of it, but it's the medicine field. If you have a son or a daughter or somebody out there, this is a field that is going to explode. So with the new technologies and whatnot, and people will be living 150 years and those that type of lifespan. You'll see.
David,
it's coming. Yes.
David, did you just say you couldn't go into all of it?
I couldn't go into all of it, yeah.
Do you guys have like a trade on for this nanotechnology? Or?
No. Why do you ask? a little humor there.
Oh, that was pretty funny. Come on, you got to admit.
That was pretty funny. I've got to admit. I just
took you a minute to get.
Yeah, I'm like some of the people that used to work with you that smoke something on the way to the work. Yeah.
Hey guys.
All right. No, you're not going anywhere. No. No, we got you. You're stuck. No. Hey man, thanks for popping in. I'm glad you got your phone to work, and we'll get that headset situation figured out. Pop in tomorrow if you can. Now, we're going to be here all next week except for Thursday, so any day you want, just pop on in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, nice to chat with you, Mike. Nice to hear you.
All right, good talking to you guys.
All right, man. Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. Mike Reed from Trade Stalker, right there.
That's him. Visit him, guys, tradestalker.com. You know, I always believe in credit where credit's due, and so very much of what I know and understand about the markets, I learned from Mike Reed. I've learned quite a bit from David as well. Again, credit where credit's due. And there's two other guys, a guy named Doug. I learned quite a bit from him, and I've learned a lot from Michael. But that's pretty much it, I guess. I mean, there have been other outside influences, you know, my own personal research, and, you know, I read Mark Douglas had a huge impact on my life. Mm-hmm. He did not teach me any setup or any indicator or any of that. His book, Trading in the Zone, just deals with thinking and probabilities. And once mm-hmm. I learned to think in probabilities, that really did change everything for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. And we keep learning. That's one of the things that everybody that trades, you know, there are professions where I think you could say that you don't have to keep learning. There are professions where you figure out what you need to do and you repeat that thing. And I think professions where you do have to keep learning are more interesting professions. Every profession is worthy of its own, you know, carries its own weight. But some professions that I think require more, you know, you have to stay on your toes. They're more interesting, but they're also, you know, you have to stay on your toes. You know, you've got to keep sharp, and trading definitely is one of them. So, you know, the old... there's a lot of old sayings in trading. Many of them are very true, and some of them are sayings from people who never really learned how to trade properly, and for some reason those sayings have stuck around. I don't believe in every old saying, but you know, the art and act of trading, it's work, it's a job, but it also is something that's changing every day and keeps your attention, and can, and you do have to stay up with it in order to do well. I have had, as energetic as I may sound, I have had those days where I just am not in the mood to put everything together, to put a trade together. And so, you know, because even basic systems are looking for a number of things usually to occur to set a trade up. And so anything that you have to go through this process to get your trade set up, and you have to stalk the trade. That's why the name Trade Stalker, I think, is a great name, because it really is exactly what happens mm-hmm. in the markets. You know, we're stalking trades. We're looking at the market. We see the setup beginning to occur and affirm itself and so on, whatever that setup is. And that's a form of stalking the trade. One of the things, though, that is great about the markets, and I think about this from time to time, it just pops in my head, is that they are still, in many ways, the Wild West, and that is a beautiful thing. You can just stumble in from out in the dry desert, sit down at a computer, and if you know what you're doing, buy something and make some money. you could stumble in from the desert and enter a trading contest and win it, you know, as an example. Not that I'm into trading contests of any kind, but everybody turns everything into a contest. You know, have you ever noticed that? Everything's a competition in this life. Anybody that does anything, there's always somebody that wants to try to outdo you and do you better. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, after work, I usually walk to my car, and I'm there in about a minute. Oh, yeah, well, I walked to my car in 33 seconds. Already, it's a competition. You know, just to walk to your car. That's just the nature of man. It's competing and always trying to break out and do something better, and, you know, that we slowly advance over time. Anyway, we have some news. Do we have any news today that's of importance?
Let's take a look here, David. I didn't have time to get to them earlier, but there was a couple that I saved in my little handy-dandy app here. Oh, and you know, new app, and this is really a much-needed app. There's so many apps right now in the Apple App Store. Mm-hmm. I forget the number, but there are so many apps that you can't find. Some guy has created an app where you can finally sort and find your way through the apps. In other words, there's no good directory. There's just so many apps that if you go to the app store,
your app not to find what you need.
Yeah, your app, exactly. Very good. Your app not to find it, because they have like a couple of categories, like top 10 paid, top 10 free. Then they got a couple little categories, and I mean, there's millions of apps, and if you don't somehow make the cut and get in like that, you know, top 10 chart, you're just buried way down there, and people, there's no way for them to find your app and to know about it unless you figure out some way of promoting it, you know, through internet advertising or some other form of media. People aren't going to find your app by going to the app store.
That would be apropos.
He's on a roll. So this guy, his app, I forget what it's called, and I can't find it because it's buried amongst all the other apps, but I will find it, and I will share it with you guys. All right.
They don't call it Apple for nothing. All right, I'll shut up.
Imagine you're the owner of a business with more than 50 employees. You're looking at a looming deadline soon. And I don't – somebody in the chat room, if you would tell me the exact date of this, please. Soon you must provide health insurance for every person on staff who works 30 hours a week or more. And if you don't, you will have to pay a $2,000 fine for each worker left uncovered. What's a business owner to do? In the United States, now this article came out of the Globe in the UK. In the United States, where Obamacare is forcing companies to consider that very question, the choice of many managers and business owners appears to be to limit workers to 29 hours a week. Now, here's a solution that fixes nothing. You aware of this, David?
Absolutely. This is going to end up where the entire country is effectively doing what everybody was upset about with Walmart. Walmart used to, and probably still does, doesn't allow people to get to a certain number of hours because of overtime.
At 39, I think it is.
Right, and Walmart is trying to sell products at the very cheapest price for people. That's the nature of their business, is we're going to be the cheapest place for you to buy any of your products. So now potentially every business as a backlash, and then they're going to have to come out with a law that says you can't limit people to, you know, and this is how regulation grows out of control. One bad idea, uncorrected, has to now be corrected by a new bad idea, which has its own problems that has to be corrected in a number of things. And before you know it, you have a book 80,000 pages long to try to deal with this. And that's where we're going under this administration. That is where we're headed, to just insane amounts of overregulation, pages, bureaucracy, and red tape.
Ed says the date is Ed says the date's January the 1st, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So January 1st, 2014, if you have 50 employees or, let me read that again, is it more than 50? Okay, that's what it says here. More than 50 employees, you must begin to provide health insurance. Now, the details of what quality of health insurance, you know, the deductibles, all of this, I'm sure it's written in this law somewhere, but I don't know what the terms are. But I do know that we have, as partners and also just in the audience outside of the partners, we have a number of insurance agents. And so, guys, if any of you would like, if any one of you would like to come on the show, possibly one day next week, and if you are well versed in the healthcare industry and in this legislation and this bill, and maybe you could share with us what your clients are doing, how it's going to affect people, provide that insight. And also, if you're a business owner with 50 employees or more, or more than 50 employees, I think is the cutoff, we would love for you to come on the show and tell us what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it and how you're – and if you are a business owner with 50 employees or more, chances are you run with a few other guys or ladies who are also employers. We tend to congregate with birds of a feather flock together. And so I'd like to know what people are doing. There was a time when I had 50 employees. In fact, I maxed out at 50. Most employees I ever had at any company at any one time working for me. And I provided health insurance not because I had to, but because I wanted to, because my employees were people who, to a man, not one of them had ever had health insurance before, except what might have been provided for them via welfare as a child or by the prison system here in Arizona or California, wherever they were come. Many of my employees were ex-felons, men and women in recovery, trying to get their life together, and never had health insurance. And what an incredible thing it was the day we finally got approved. And it wasn't easy. I mean, with group policies, they are not supposed to be able to deny pre-existing conditions and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, we were a motley crew, okay? We had more calamities and injuries and hep C. And I had one employee, she had an artificial hip. She had a pig's valve in her heart. And she had some other thing. And obviously, she could never get insurance from anybody because of all the pre-existing conditions, but because we got this group health plan, she was able to get health insurance. And man, what a humbling experience it was to play a part in helping these folks who were like family. It was like one great big family. And it was the first time I had ever had health insurance since I left the military. As a young man, I had never worked for a company that provided health insurance. So I understand for employers who are operating on extremely thin margins and there's just not enough money in the bank to pay these premiums, I understand that. We made it a priority, and so we cut corners or, shaved our budget in other areas to free up dollars so that we could pay, because it was so important to so many of our employees. So I would love to hear how employers today are dealing with this and handling it, and any insurance agents that want to come on the show, just like we had Rob Howe come on and talk about the real estate industry, love to have some insurance professionals share with us what's going on. So do you know any insurance agents that are health insurance agents, David?
No, I don't. I do have, of course, for our business and for property and stuff, I have my own insurance agent, but I don't think he is doing health insurance. So,
okay.
Like Nancy Pelosi said, you can read the bill and then you'll pass the bill and then you'll know what's in it. That's a Nancy Pelosi line. Just this is
what was
before
what was
healthcare
the line?
Went through.
Tell me again what the line was.
Well, nobody knew what was going on. This was all done behind the scenes.
Right,
and people said to the Speaker of the House, well, we don't even know what's in this, and you're passing it. Well, yeah, she said, well, you go ahead and pass it, and then you can you can read it, and then you'll know what's in it. Oh, right. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Google has done an amazing thing. They've removed all the clouds from planet Earth. Google Earth, on their Maps program, they went in and digitally removed all the clouds. So you can go, now it's a filter, and so when you go to Google Earth, you'll still see the clouds, but check your little settings over on, I think it's the right-hand side, and you can make the clouds this is such a fascinating thing. It's not live in real time, of course, but, I mean, I can go online and I can look at the orphanage in Kampala from overhead.
Huh.
And, you know, and my house, I can, if you look at the satellite image of my house, I think it's either me or my neighbor, I forget the last time I looked, one of us is crossing the street going to the other's house. And David, you could do the same thing. You could look at your house and you can see, like, if you've planted, you know, trees or done some landscaping or you got a new car. I mean, you can see that timeline there. Pretty neat.
I'm waiting for them to just have all that in real time, you know, where you just actually are able to watch everybody do everything in real time. And it's all on the internet.
And so how... Do you think that technology? Do you think that's realistic? And do you think someday that we will have that?
Yes, I think that's going to be very possible.
Okay.
I do.
Tesla. Have you heard about the Tesla news?
Sure.
They have petitioned the White House, folks, to stop states from requiring that cars be sold only by third-party dealers. And this is a law that I had no idea even existed until David told us about it the other day. I had no idea.
Yeah, this is a big power play from Tesla, a very effective one. It will work. It will be successful. The dealers' associations, which have agreements to under their franchise law and other things to sell cars in a certain way, Tesla, in their mind, is breaking that, and there are other problems that that the dealers' associations have with the method by which they sell cars, which is not through a dealer. If you, as the listener, go out and want to buy a Tesla, you pick up the phone, you call, you pay I think now a $2,500 deposit, and in about 6 weeks your car is ready, and they'll bring the car to you at your home. And a guy will deliver the car to you, show you all the features, stay with you, you know, the whole thing. They put it on a truck and they deliver to you, or you can go and pick it up in California. But there's never a dealership involved. There's no franchise. So there's all kinds of things that the way that they sell the car that bothers these people. But because the White House and this administration has a very powerful green energy policy, their green energy policy really means they're going to spend a lot of green. It has nothing to do with the normal term. They're just going to waste a lot of green on it, and they've done that so far, as we all know. But having said that, they have a very powerful green energy initiative, and they're going to take Tesla very seriously since they're just about the only man standing left that is successful that took money from the government under their green energy policy. So he's going to go to them, and they're going to fix that. And so my prediction is that all of these states, there's a few states actually that have issues with that they're considering, you know, moving against Tesla and their method of selling and other things. That's all going to crumple. There may possibly be a state or two where they don't sell in, but those people can still buy cars from Tesla and bring them into the state. So Tesla will win. This is a company that's changing the entire way that this whole entire industry thinks and does business, and they're going to be successful in doing so. So that's my take on it. Tesla's up pretty good as well.
Yeah, probably on that news. Microsoft, we talked yesterday about 3D printing and how it's just now starting to come into its own. And here's the big sign pointing in that direction. Microsoft announced today that Windows 8.1, and by the way, guys, if you haven't used Windows 8 yet, you're lucky. It is just horrible. Do you have any
is
computers?
Really?
Do you have any computers running Windows 8, David?
No, we're on 7 here.
Gosh, well, I'm no fan of 7, but 8 is really not. Anyway, 8.1 will be the first operating system to provide 3D printer native support. What does that mean to you? It means that the app market is poised for its first 3D printing explosion. To be honest, 3D printing technology just isn't there quite yet for consumers. It's expensive, it's relatively lousy, and it takes a slew of skills from technical to artistic to produce anything worth printing in the first place, so specialists like designers and engineers can enjoy its rapid fabrication while everyone else, for the moment, is still left behind. Today, Microsoft announced a crucial step to empower the next wave of 3D printer adoption. Windows 8.1 will be the first OS to support 3D printing, natively on desktops and tablets. Our thinking, according to a manager at Microsoft's startup business group, our thinking was let's make this as easy as writing and printing a Word document. My kids have no problem building 3D models in Minecraft all day long. Are you familiar with that game, David, Minecraft?
I am, but I've never played it, and I stay at least 15 feet away from people that do play them.
It's a building game where you create stuff with little blocks, right? I've never played it either, but it has its fans, and they are
of course
serious about their Okay, and that's the real appeal of the Microsoft pitch. The company tells me that 70% of 3D printing is already done on Windows machines, but the problem is it's a clunky process. You have to design an image in a program like CAD, then output it to specialty printer software. From there, you can start the glitch-prone printing process. Remember back in the day when you went out and bought a new printer and you had to spend like the next 48 hours installing all these drivers and different things? And then suddenly this plug-and-play came along and it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. It really did become like kind of like magic. It's magic, you know? So 3D printing, guys, coming to a desktop near you. So that's all I got for headlines. So
well, good. Well, we'll get into the markets. Let's take a quick look around and see what we have. We'll begin with the S&P 500, which today and again just recently, the last 3-4 weeks have just been amazing movement. We're back in trading with much bigger volatility and so on. So this has been good. Going back a little bit, you know, going back to several weeks back, we had talked about a multi-week decline coming. We have the multi-week decline. We talked yesterday about the week of July 1st, which is tomorrow, which is next week, not tomorrow, but next week is the week of July 1st. That's the on-time week for a bottom, a weekly bottom. We talked yesterday about the idea that that bottom likely has occurred already 1 week early, which is not unusual. In fact, it's very common in a setup like this, that it is on time or 1 unit early. And so the market has had a very good reaction up. Many people would say, well, I don't want to buy it here because it's already had a good move up. It's going to have a lot more than this before it's all over. So even including the pullbacks and whatnot, the market will have a multi-week advance and move higher than this. So we think more upside is going to be coming here. And then shorter term, coming in from yesterday, we talked on the program about the need, we felt, the need for the market to touch 1601 yesterday.
1601 and a quarter, Dave.
1601 and a quarter. And
you got to tighten it up, man.
I know. I work
by
at this
a tick.
Stuff. Yeah, I stayed out late the night before, and I just didn't have the numbers quite right. It was tough. When you're drinking and smoking in clubs
night,
you know, right. Your head's not as tight. Anyway, they had a small reaction off that down to 94, and today we're still in the uptrend here. And most currently, along with the number that you had mentioned earlier, which is a little lower than where we got in, we had bought the market a short while back at 07, and we're holding for a possible test of 13. and as a final aggressive exit. So we're just waiting here. This is an intraday, not longer-term day trade. But in the end, for this week, you know, today's Thursday. We have one more day left for the week. It's extremely highly likely that we're going to close the week well. The weekly bottom did come in 1 week early, and that, in spite of pullbacks, we're going to see multi-week advance. Go ahead, Dwayne. I think that's everything I have right now.
Gosh, no, I think I was just sort of grunting in agreement.
Oh,
I don't think I
really
had anything specific
to
say. I know what I was going to say is our upside target here is 1718. Mike Reed said he had 18, and so that's what I wanted to ask you is if you had a number in that neighborhood.
You know, it's funny you say that. Let me double check this because we do have something, and it is 1617. I know that's going to make hopefully that'll make everybody happy. What it is...
Yeah, it really should. It should give them added confidence that three people with three completely different methods are all pointing at the same number.
Yeah, it's actually, the number really is 17, but the for us, and it's not really due until tomorrow. And there's a few other caveats to it, but in general, with the weekly bottom in, and that's not a number that necessarily stops the whole move up. It's a number that is a trade to target for us. We're not going to trade to it with this intraday position, but you know, if a person's longer term or holding, you know, selling put premium and all that stuff, then you take something off at that level. I like having levels that we exit on the way up, because often you do get reversals. Even if they're temporary, it's nice. It's a nice feeling to take something off and go, hey, well, the market reversed subsequent to that. And even though now they're higher, you know, and so on, we book something and we're trading correctly. It feels good. It's funny. It's just this simple. It feels good to do the right thing. And the right thing is to do the right thing. You know, the trading is a series of right decisions. Trading successfully is a series of right decisions. And right decisions include moving stops, sometimes getting stopped out. We had a position in the natural gas market from a day or so ago where the position started moving nicely in our favor, and then today natural gas had a very big move down. We had already moved our stop up a little bit. It was very close by to where we were, thankfully, and we got stopped out of that position. It would have been, upon retrospect, a really great place to reverse. And I am considering more and more now having resting orders in for the automated, you know, so to speak, reverse in certain setups and conditions, because some of these moves happen so fast that you really don't, you're not really going to be there right in front of it at the split second it happens. By the time you see it, all of that other psychology is going to come into play that says, you know, don't go short, it's gone too far, and all that. You have to really have the order in the same way, by the way, that I believe you have to have your stop in, because I'm not a fan of the idea of saying I have a mental stop or that I don't want them to know where the stop is. That is not good practice, and I would even suggest to those who think that way that it's a way of letting yourself off the hook and allowing something to happen that you know you shouldn't allow to happen just to see what happens and see maybe if you can get it back and all that. That's gambler thinking. That does not belong in trading. It really doesn't. It works sometimes, but it works it doesn't help you in the end, and that's the best thing I can say about it. It hurts you in the end. Some of my biggest losses that I can remember are losses that came from being frustrated and not using a stop and saying I'm not going to get stopped out, and then the position ended up really being a move that really ran, and I held and held and held because I was just a plain old idiot in the markets and just taking enormously stupid risks initially and then conglomerating that on, or whatever the word is, you know, adding that to an even worse secondary move. It's one thing to make a move and it's a bad move and then to, you know, compound that, that's the word I was looking for, with another bad move. That's why people fail in this, is because they end up letting the market tell them how to trade and tell them how it is, and they get, they sort of get suckered into letting positions go against them. So I won't do that anymore. Money is too hard to come by. All of us work too hard for money. And the gain, the idea of gain, if it blinds you so much that you're willing to allow huge, completely out of control moves to happen to your position so that later you can get a gain, then this is not for you. And that's a favorable thing to say to you, because if somebody doesn't say that to you, you'll end up losing a lot of money. And no one wants you to do that. It would be better for you to move on to something else that works better for you, that you don't have that problem with. Or you could always use Robin Dane, a trading coach, and let her help you get over that. There really isn't anything to get over. Greed is greed. Fear is fear. Neither of them have any place in your trading. There shouldn't be any fear. You know what your limits are. You know what the stop is. You know when you put a trade on, if you're doing it correctly, that you are satisfied, that you found a really good setup that you'd like to trade in. I felt that way about the natural gas position the other day, and it turned into a losing trade. But you know what? We lost like 3 points in natural gas. If I held on to that position, it may go substantially lower. At the end of the month, if I look at my statement, I might have lost whatever it was. I forgot what it was per con. It was 3 points or something. Let's say at the end of the month that market is, I get my statement and the market's way, way down. Well, that's all the money I saved right there. And that could have wiped out, in other words, if I would have held on to that position, I would have wiped out all kinds of other gains that I had. So there is a really important thing that's going on when you're trading, and that is you're preserving your previous gains and you're not subjecting them to idiocy. Don't subject your previous gains to idiocy, because they won't stay with you. The way that you hold on to those gains is by trading smarter. You need to get smarter in your trading as you accumulate money, not looser. How many people say, well, now I'm playing with the house's money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's death. I might as well get the coroner, get him on the phone. Because that's the smell of death. I'm playing with the house's money. If you think like that, unfortunately, it's a disease that ends up, eating you alive. And the point I'm – go ahead.
No. You could make your point.
I was going to say, the point I'm simply making is that you have to get smarter as you accumulate gains, not looser or dumber with your – you can't play loose with gains. You have to trade smarter. And that simply means that you recognize that you cannot subject previous gains to lunacy of your own or anyone else's. And that's how you hold on to it. And that simply means that when you go in the markets, you understand the trade you're getting in, you like what you see, you place your stop, you trade it as best as you can, and the results will take care of themselves, one way or the other. If you do it any other way, you're going to end up subjecting your previous gains to the looseness that comes from the attitude and the idea that, hey, I'm ahead, so I can hold on to this position a little bit and not use a stop this time. That's one really common thing. Hey, I can let them move against me here a little bit. I'm playing with the house's money. That's what that all means. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, I'm right here. What I was going to say is that some people probably think we spend an inordinate amount of time talking about using stops. In fact, you could probably go through our podcast archive for the last 7 years, and there's probably a rare day that we don't talk about it. But guys, it's not because we don't have anything else to talk about. It's because it really is that important, and
it's everything.
See, David and I, every day, We interact with people who are considering becoming traders. They're in the process of becoming a trader or learning how to trade, and also traders who have been at this for a while, some who've been successful and some who've really struggled. So and you as a trader working, perhaps from your home office or from home, whatever the case might be, you don't have a lot of opportunity to interact with other traders, whereas that's all we do all day long. And so we hear these stories over and over. And so whatever issue that you have with personally with your stops, and trust me, you have an issue. Unless you've overcome it, okay, you have an issue, and you know you do, but you don't understand how prolific that problem is. It goes from office to office to home to trader. It's a big issue, and it was a big issue for me when I started. I was told you always got to put in a stop. But, you know, it only took getting stopped out a couple times to realize that I didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that, the lunacy of that thinking. Mm-hmm. I only had to get stopped out on a couple of trades to realize that,
those stops, they don't work for me. I lost. That doesn't work. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And so, it was bad. Now, I blame it on this, and this was part of the problem, okay, but I still have to accept responsibility. Back then, 8 years ago, in 2005, when I started trading E-mini futures, the platform I was on, I did not offer bracket orders. Bracket orders, I think, are on just about every platform now. They certainly are on the DT Pro platform that we use. So when I enter a trade, my stop is automatically placed. When I was learning to trade E-minis, you had to put your order on. You know, it's a limit order. You wait, you wait. Finally, you get filled. Now you're live in the market, and that little thing's bouncing up and down, and you know, you're up 500, and you're down 500, then you're up 700, now you're down 1,200, and you're like, the last thing in the world you want to do is take your attention away from the little bouncing ball to go fumble around with this DOM to try to put in some kind of a stop-loss order where you'll just end up getting stopped out. You'd rather just stay focused on the action as it goes down, down, until you reach your pain threshold, whatever that is. And you should track how your pain threshold changes over time, okay? And now that there is such a thing as bracketed orders, and there may have been back then, but my platform didn't have it, and I had a pretty advanced platform. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but that's not important. If your platform doesn't have brackets, then get a different platform. DT Pro has brackets. And then use it. Every time I enter a trade, the second that I'm filled, I have a live stop-loss order in the market. Okay? I don't have to think twice. I don't have to calculate in my head, I need to go 3 points on this one or five. You know, no, all I have to focus on is my entry. I've already decided that intraday on the S&P 500, I'm never going to risk more than 2 points. Never. Intraday, S&P 500, I'm not going to risk more than 2 points. So I don't need to clutter up my mind with that thought process. I don't need to burn those brain cycles. Save my, you know, what little bit of CPU I've got, I need to save it for other things. So use them. It's a tool. It's automated. It makes life so much cleaner. Okay, it's just, you don't even think about it. It just happens. So there's my, okay. I was telling Michael the other day, we need to get a soap sponsor, like Palmolive or Tide XK, because we spend a lot of time on our soap boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this show should be underwritten by, you know, mm-hmm. some Mr. Clean or somebody, I don't
something.
Know.
Something. Palmolive, is that still around? Good Lord.
I soak my hands in it every night.
Okay. Remember the lady,
yes.
Madge, she's got her hands. Paul, you're soaking in it. I want a T-shirt that just says, you're soaking in it.
That's funny.
All right, let's move on to – so I don't have anything else on the S&P. They're trying to do the 13 that we talked about a minute ago. They've gotten up to a high here as we've been talking.
I got some questions for you, and one of them has to do with stops, so let's do that right now. This one says – 20 Mule Team. Oh, that's a nice soap.
Mm,
yeah.
That's an old one. That's really old. That's Boron. They used to make that Borax soap in Boron, California.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I did not
Pete
know that.
Says, not using a stop is like drinking and driving. It's only a matter of time. Yep, very
right.
Well
exactly.
Said.
Or texting and driving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this question about stops. Question to David, because this person already knows how I do it. Question to David, how does he place his stops? What's his method?
My method is I have been watching the market for a long time, and I find a spot that initially the market should not be able to touch if the outlook that I have is to maintain its true course, and even including pullbacks and so on. Here's an area that they should not go. I start with an initial stop that's wider. Honestly, it's only wider because I'm thinking in terms of multi-day trading, but even in intraday trading, I'm going to initiate a position. I want to find a spot where the market should not be able to go. And then as the market confirms my position, I will move that stop up. Now, in Messenger Pro, which is our day trading product, we often do trade with the idea of moving the stop to the break even as soon as possible and so on. But that particular method is not the method that I use in longer-term trading. In this particular trade here that we were just in from 07, we just got out at 11.50 or 12, whatever it was. This was a nice little move up, as a matter of fact. This is another example of several people having numbers right around the same area. Our number actually was 7. They went down to 5, or whatever they got. The low was here, 5.25. But we bought at 07 with the idea that there would be a retest of 13. But here's my point. The simple fact is that if you are doing what we're doing in Messenger Pro, then you are trading with the idea that, hey, if it doesn't work out, I lose either 2 points or as quickly as I can, I move it up to a break even. And that's fine for short intraday trading. In the longer term swing trading that we do, and we do quite a bit of that, multi-day or multi-week, what really happens is that we find a spot that the market should not be able to go if the market is going to do what we think it's going to do. And that is a matter of, it's nothing mysterious. It's a matter of experience, looking at the markets and understanding where markets should find, as an example, support. And so I would want to place my stop under what I perceive to be important support. And even with that support, there are times that the market could spike well below that support, stop you out, and then go right back up and close above the support. Just kidding. And then you have to decide whether or not you want to get back in. Most people won't get back in. And in many cases, I don't, because it can, freak you out, let's just say. But it does end up working out in many, many cases when you get back in that you do have a really good confirmation. They flush everyone out and they go. So my answer to you is a matter of experience in determining where the market should not go. And a really good way to get over the experience gap is to understand support and resistance, because you want to place your stops beneath a place where support is so that you don't end up getting in the way of the market. You don't want to have your stop, if you're longer term trading, above support until the market has confirmed and has a move underway. Just like what the S&P is doing now, if you looked at a 15-minute chart, hey, the move's underway. The move up, they're moving. Well, if you had a stop, you'd be moving. You could, if this was a longer-term chart, you could start moving it up because, as an example, the market shouldn't be back down below the last bar's low or something. You know, just as an example, that's a place we shouldn't be seeing if the idea that they're going up to 13 is to be real at this point. And so that's what I do. It's a lot of words, but it's the simple answer is we're going to be below what we perceive to be support, and then we're going to move it up as the market confirms. It's that simple. There's no rocket science to it. But you have to do it, and you have to stay smart and get smarter while you're accumulating money. The funny thing is many people get dumber as they accumulate money, not smarter. And that's the big point of today, is watch for that. Watch for the loose thinking. Watch for the it's party time. Watch for the I don't have to do it the way I did it before because now I'm playing with the house's money and I've got extra money in my account. If you're calling it the house's money, it's going to return to the house.
Yep.
That's where it's going to go.
Yep.
So there you go.
Okay. All right. I hope that helped. Let's see. From Ed, I think David has called. Okay. This is on natural gas, so we'll save that until we get to the natural gas. Okay, because we've only talked about S&P so far.
Yeah, let's
Richard, Richard asks, does David have a correction to the downside target in mind?
Correction to the downside target. Well,
hey, Richard, can you retype that maybe?
I don't know if he's talking about something we put out in our institutional or what, but yeah, the market had to have stopped if this may be his answer. Today's market had to have stopped at 1606 in order, or not stop, but close below 1606 in order for that to be in play. And it's very likely that they're going to close above that and so on. So if there is a different question he's asking, I'll be happy to answer it. But if you want, Dwayne, we'll move over to the gold and a few other markets. Let's take a look around and see what we have here.
Yeah, there's a comment here on gold. Where was that? Pete says, gold just hit a low at 1207. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's at the moment.
It's at 1207.
Okay. Gold just hit a low at 1207. We haven't seen these levels since 2009.
Yeah, this is remarkable. This is a remarkable move in gold. We're down literally almost $700 or $800 off the all-time high. In fact, let's just figure it out using the math that we all learned in high school, for those of us that went to high school, and you know who I'm talking about. I'm just joking. Let's see. So we're down $714 per ounce, a remarkable move. And we've talked about it a number of times on the show. It bears repeating, though. We don't like we've been saying this since practically last year. We don't like the long side, not last year, actually, the last quarter, the January quarter. We don't like the long side until after the third quarter of this year. We think there's a very strong likelihood that a new low is going to be made in the third quarter. And you can see they're rushing down right as we're getting into the third quarter here. Third quarter is a couple days away. So Monday is the first. So it's very likely we'll make a new low. And that isn't necessarily buying territory. That's us saying don't go long longer term until we at least see what they do in the third quarter, because we think a new low is going to be made in the third quarter of this year. I hope, and I think we have, protected a lot of people from buying longer term, not the short term stuff, but the longer term, putting on big positions and having to sit through these incredible compressed moves down. And hopefully we'll find a very good place to, and we'll talk more about it, about where we're going to go long. But this is a really big push on the downside, and it deserves respect. And we wouldn't touch this thing on the long side for longer term positions until at least the third quarter, and we'll talk about it in the third quarter. Shorter term in gold, they continued lower today, and they're continuing below important levels. Like, as an example, normally the week in a market that isn't in a really strong trend, they would have trouble closing below 1225. Not this week, but 2 weeks from now. So we're below 1225 right now. And unless this is just a spike, that is a very – there's a lot of pressure on this market. They should – 2 weeks from now, they would – the second week of July, they would be ordinarily, if they weren't in a really strong trend, it would be very easy for them to close above 1225. So this kind of pressure is really, like the listener said, you know, this is – they're down at 1207. You know, it's an amazing move. We're now breaking to new lows even as we talk. So caution, be careful with this, or short it, you know, do something with it in the direction of the trend. You notice when people would say that, it makes it sound so easy, or just short it. But, you know, people, my first response is, oh, yeah, as soon as I short it, that's when it's going to turn. Well, yeah, sometimes that happens. There's no question about it. The market is, you have to learn how to trade the market. That's what it is. It's not quite as easy as people make it sound, and I don't try to make it sound easy. What I do know about the market is that it's neither difficult nor easy. The market is simply a skill that you have to learn, and it takes time. And once you've learned it, you know something that a lot of people don't necessarily know, because you're tying in. There's some human nature things that tie in with trading in the market successfully over time, human nature, your own. And there are technical things that you tie in, and you have to get that balance just about right, and you can put some nice trades together. And when you start making some gains, you learn the lesson to not get stupid or stupider because you have gains. It's like the lottery winners. You know, how many times have you seen it? People win the lottery and their life goes to hell in a handbasket. And why? Well, how does that happen? Why would it do that? Because of human nature. Because I'm playing with the house's money, and they do stupid things, and before you know it, they're out of all the money they had, and they're back to worse than they were when they started. That's happened many, 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 many times.
Yep. There are some. Oh yeah, the lottery curse.
The lottery curse, right, exactly. Anyway, you know, I'm waiting for the guy that wins the lottery, the $200 million lottery, and he just says, hey, man, I'm sorry, man. I've seen what happens to people. You can have that check. Thank you, man. I just, please leave the property. Leave the premises. Don't make me call the police.
Yeah.
That won't happen.
I want to help that guy out.
Yeah.
I want to take that off his hands.
There are some people who've won the lotteries and have done very well.
Yeah, it does happen.
There were responsible people to start with. They understand that, you know, they're ahead of their own human nature curve a little bit. This woman that just won the 500 or whatever, you know, she netted $287 million or something, and she has well, you can go read about it, but it may not end well. That's all I can say. I hope it does.
What's the story there?
Well, she has a son whose boyfriend is going to be moving in, and they're all going to be living as one big happy family now. I mean, this is reality TV program stuff. They all they need is just cameras there, and you'll have a really great show.
Oh, I haven't heard anything about this. Okay.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, you know, wisdom remains wisdom no matter what the external event is. And so, you know, people who have some wisdom, all kinds of things can happen to them, and they make pretty good decisions. People who haven't accumulated or gotten to that point, they make bad decisions even when good things happen to them.
Yeah.
See? Bad things can happen to you, and you can say, well, that was a bad thing, so the guy had to deal with it, I can understand. But then there's plenty of people who really good things happen to, and they just turn it into a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. And that's because they haven't got any wisdom. They haven't picked any wisdom up in this life yet. And wisdom isn't book knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding that operates in real time. And it isn't from your mental machinery. It isn't coming from a mere memory. It's the ability to interact with life in real time. And you're coming from a place that isn't so centered on the me and the mine. And you're able to make very, very clear decisions when that is out of the way. Well, so really good things can happen to people. And by the way, the reverse, really bad things can happen to people who have some wisdom and they turn lemons into lemonade.
Yep.
There you are. So, okay, so let's move on. I don't have a lot to talk about yet on the euro. We've had a nice, very, very intent move down here on the euro recently and a very big move up on the dollar. We're leaving that alone for the time being. There are some targets that we have in our institutional stuff, but I'm not going to go into all that right now. We told people to buy crude the other day on June 24th, and then we told people to buy crude again on June 26th because they'd sold back off and got very close to the important levels. And take a look at crude today. We're up very nicely. Beautiful move up. This is, for us, very classic kind of trading setup, utilizing reflected wave and just some ordinary experience that you have with trading the markets. You know, no matter how, now that the move has happened, anybody can say, well, yeah, that's nice and that's good, but you had to use a stop in this trade. I'm not going to hammer the stops, but I'm saying you had to use it until the market really confirmed. And to the person who asking the question about moving the stop and where do you put your stops and so on, well, now that the market has confirmed, those decisions get a lot easier because you can see very easily where they shouldn't be, and you start moving your stop up and so on. It's the initial positioning that I think is the critical point that might take a little time and experience to get right. But it essentially boils down to being above support, or excuse me, putting your stop under support and knowing what support is. And actually, if I may say so, in a form of a tip of a hat to Mike Reed, you know, he's a support and resistance man right from the beginning, isn't he?
Yes, absolutely.
And that would be somebody that if you wanted to expand on this, you could go and ask him for some help in that area because he may be able to he would be able to. He's no May about it. He could teach you about support and resistance. He has a program for that. He's experienced in doing that. And then with that, you could expand that out to whatever time frame you wanted to and begin placing stops effectively. One last thing I'm just going to say, and then I promise I won't say it again. If you're not trading with a stop, you don't really have a trading strategy.
You aren't trading.
That's gambling. because trading and investing includes managing the risk.
Great segue here. I had an email from someone yesterday who, you know, a friend or relative, somebody they know, had applied that little bit of pressure that we get applied to us from time to time as day traders, and this person had asked them, and I think this came from a religious context, how is what you do as a day trader, how is that different from gambling, and how is that not gambling? And because I have my response right here in the form of an email, I'll share that, but I'd like for you to answer the question.
Well, gambling,
because I know that person is tuned in today, and so they can hear.
Oh, good.
You know, they've already read my response, and let's see what your response is.
Okay, gambling is when you put money into something, or for lack of a better term, place a bet, and you know the odds are against you. That's gambling. A person that comes to Las Vegas and sits at the tables knows the games are rigged. They're set up to pay out a certain amount, but over time. Time is the main factor. You will lose all of your money. That's what they know. So they know they're gambling because they're placing a bet, so to speak, when they know the odds are against them. Now, that is different than any other form, not just including trading. That's different than any other thing that you do, what we could call investing, which is that you have investigated, you've learned, you've educated yourself, and you're placing a bet, quote unquote, when the odds are perceived to be in your favor. That is the difference. And now a person that goes out and buys real estate, boy, he gets a lot more respect than the guy that is day trading. Why? Because people respect the fact that there's a real physical property there. They understand, okay, it's a house, it's got a use, it's got value, and so on. Why is he never called a gambler? How come the guy that buys the house is never accused of gambling when he could very well buy the house and the housing market could crash, right? But he's never accused of that. The reason he's not accused of it is because people understand intrinsic value in the house, and they see that because there's intrinsic value, it reduces the gambling idea. The reason the markets don't get that respect is because there is no intrinsic value. You're not getting something for your money. You don't get something in your driveway. You can't come home with a bag that you bring inside your house. There's no pool in your backyard after doing this or anything. This is just investment on a short-term basis. But my argument is that gambling is the placing of a bet when you know in advance that the odds are against you and you place the bet anyway. And by the way, the term placing a bet I don't like to use, because is the guy that's buying a real estate building, is he placing a bet? Yeah, I guess you could say he is as well. But I don't like that term. But for the purposes of this, the investor, on the other hand, is somebody who is placing his bet when the odds are perceived to be in his favor. Any and all activity in life, I just covered. It doesn't matter whether you're spending money, whether you're trying to determine whether you can cross the street. Here's a guy who wants to cross the street. The gambler is a guy that sees cars coming and says, you know what, chances are I'm probably not going to make it, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Okay, he's gambling. Because the cars are coming, and he doesn't know how fast he can run. He's been up a couple nights in a row, sleeping in a tool shed, and now he's got to try to cross the street. So he's gambling. The other guy is he's watching the cars. He's waiting for a big wide open break, and he sees the wide open break, and he runs for it. Now, he could, maybe there's a little curve in the road, and he can't see what's coming right around, but even if that happens, he still is close enough to the other side, and he can pull it off. No matter where you are in life, asking the girl out, are you gambling or are you investing? You know, if you've read the situation well and she's giving you some good responses, then you ask her out. Well, you're going to be better than the guy that just stumbles up to her and just says, hey, you know, hey, man, you know, I know you want me. Okay, that guy's gambling. The other guy has worked his program. This is true in all areas of life. It's not just the markets. It's not just investment. You can gamble or you can invest. And if you want to live a better life, invest rather than gamble in every area. That's my answer.
Yep. All right. Very good. And, you know, the person sitting there listening to this has got to go like, hey, wait a minute. That's what you said. So let me just read to you exactly. And, again, the question was, has anyone ever said to you, what is the difference between gambling and day trading? If so, what was your response? And I wrote back, The difference is when I trade, I am making a short-term investment. People get hung up on time frames. When I go to Vegas to gamble, and then in parentheses I put I don't gamble, I'm gambling because the odds are not in my favor. In order to realize a profit, I would need to get lucky, right? So when I place a high probability trade, the odds are very much in my favor. There is risk involved, but not a gamble. Any investment that carries a reasonable rate of return will have corresponding risk. Many people bought houses in 2004, 2005, and lost their shirt. Yet no one calls that gambling because they were investing in real estate and their timing was just off.
Right.
If someone buys raw land because they believe someday a developer will want to build on it, is that gambling or investing? I believe it aggravates some folks because they've been taught you have to wait 5, 10, 20 years to realize a return on your investment. I would say that because my risk on an investment is limited to hours and in some cases only minutes, the 20-year land deal is a much bigger gamble as there is much more time for something to go wrong. When the rich man left town on business and made his servants stewards, how long was he gone? It doesn't say. And so, in closing, ask them this question, at how many days is it no longer gambling? If day trading is gambling, how about two-day trading or weekly trading? You see what I'm saying? You know, because that person, whoever would say that, well, you know, day trading, that's gambling. At some point in their mind, it switches over from gambling to investing. And I was just, you know, curious, but trying to make a point as well. For that individual, would it be 2 days? Would it be a week? Would it be a month? Would it be quarterly?
Well, maybe it is that some people don't believe in timing the market at all, that if you're investing in it, you buy and you just simply hold it, and then when you need the money and something comes up, you get out. That's how you invest. You don't try to time the ups and downs and all that.
And I had written the other night about this on the blog, a difference. I was pointing out the difference between trading and investing. That was before this question even came up. And it was that when you're investing, probably there's a very good chance, a high probability, if you will, that you have an interest in the company, in the product or service that they offer, or the technology that they either own or developing. Whereas a trader is making his decision and profiting purely off of price fluctuations and has no real concern what's going on with the company or the product. For me, I love Apple's products. Okay, I love my iPhone. I love my iPad. I use them a lot. I don't trade an Apple stock. If I were trading in it, okay, and I were intraday trading, day trading, my love for the products would in no way have any bearing on how I chose to trade that thing intraday, because I would be looking to profit purely off of price fluctuation. And if the technicals tell me it's a short trade, no matter how much I love that iPad, I should probably not buy the stock. On the other hand, if I am investing in Apple for the long haul, then that is going to the fact that I do have a great respect and admiration for their products and use their products, that is going to play into my investment decision. So anyway, that's on the blog, guys, if any of you want to read that in depth. I wrote that a couple days ago.
Well, there
okay,
you are.
Dave, back to you.
I just want to say one last little twist on that is gamblers will say this in many cases much the same. They'll say, well, I am waiting for the high probability. But when you're gambling, at least at the casino, they don't allow you to sit there at the table and decide when you're going to place a bet and not. You have to play. You're in the game or you're out. They don't let you just stand there. You know, the games are set up in such a way that the odds are known to be against you. So a sports betting person would say, well, I look at the trends, I look at these, and let me tell you something, those guys are very close, and some the really high-level guys, I'm not encouraging anybody to do sports betting, but the people that run the sports betting operations and stuff, there's people that essentially do a lot of what could be called technical analysis of teams and about what their trends are and where they've been in the past. And you think, well, that you know, that's not like stocks. No, it is. It very much is, just like stocks. The markets run to support and resistance. So do these teams. They're in the wins and loses, except it's over a wide period of time. But I think, in general, if you I've said this for years on the program, I don't think of myself as a trader. I think of myself as a short-term or medium-term investor. I've never liked the term trader. I just don't like it. It never sat well with me. It just meant I was trading back and forth meaninglessly with another person and ending up with nothing. I think of myself as an investor. And I've always thought of myself that way with regard to the markets. And I think if you flip that word, might have some meaning and help you to maybe, you know, think differently about how you, you know, what you think about your own activities. Because, you know, people that don't understand what the markets are all about are going to call it gambling. So there you are. You know,
a couple of people had asked for if that was written down anywhere, what I had read. I will take the excerpt, and I will put it in the blog post tonight. So anybody that you know, wants to think about that, ponder that, and many of you probably do get asked that question.
Oh, yeah. This is for their wives. This is for their wives.
Well,
this is for the wives and girlfriends, because that's what I've been through this so many times with you know, people in my life. You know, oh, so you gamble for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how people think about it. And
And you know what? And a lot of times it's said casually and cavalier. They're not making a judgment. That's just how they see it. And other times it is very much judgmental.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, and that's good. It's a good question, and those are great answers for this for that question. I think those are the answers for the question. With regard to going back to crude, we'll zip through these real quick. With going back to crude, we've had a nice big up move here now, and we'll continue to watch. Our outlook on crude is that much, much higher prices are coming, and so you want to check out your gasoline prices. If you're driving something really old that has a big V8 in it, you could save a lot of money flipping down to something newer, even a hybrid or something that you could get 40 or 50 miles per gallon on and be able to, you know, you would be amazed what it feels like to drive a car that goes 45 miles on a gallon. It would seem like forever to people who have these trucks that are getting 11 and 12 miles per gallon. I mean, it seems like an eternity. It's like having an iPhone battery that never goes dead, as an example. You just keep showing full, you know, for days and days and days. That's what it feels like.
Speaking of batteries, David, have you noticed that the iPhone 5 battery does not hold up very well?
I have noticed that, and I've also noticed, and I just want to say this, I am a total fan of Apple. I love their products, and I love the iPhone, but I have several friends that have bought the new Samsung 4. I'm not sure exactly if that's the right name for it. Somebody correct me.
It's probably the Galaxy or something, maybe.
It's a gorgeous phone. It has its own little features and probably its own quirks, but that bigger screen, I want. I've realized that the Apple screen is too small. I hope they realize that, and I realize now that if I want a larger screen and if I want to stay with Apple, I have to wait another full year for their next, you know, the next big phone to come out. I surely hope for their sake they go to a bigger screen, because they sort of made.
You could go with the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
And then make your phone calls via Skype, or any. Oh, okay. There's a couple of other different, because you'll get the iPad Mini with the 3G or the 4G service.
I'll have to check that out, because I really do want a bigger. I do notice that I'm getting to the point where I say, you know, I need this a little bigger. And when somebody showed me their new pretty Samsung, and Samsung has really done a lot of great work in catching up. They've got a lot of great things in their phone that. You know, it's a different operating system. It's probably more vulnerable to hacks and things like that. But in the end, they've done a great job in catching up, and their screen looks just as beautiful as the Apple and so on. And that really made me realize, you know, I really want a bigger screen. So I'm hoping Apple doesn't miss the boat on that. Obviously, with their stock down, the unfortunate and untimely death of Steve Jobs, a lot of people believe, and I think Warren Buffett wants to buy them down here as well. He's bullish on the company. I hope they continue to make a series of right decisions, and I hope that their phone gets a little bigger, because if it doesn't, a year from now, it's likely I'm going to have to move over to something else, because I do need a bigger phone, and maybe I'll try the iPad mini like what you're talking
about.
Here
you go, Dave. See this guy's hand? It gives you... Now, they tend to use guys with really big hands for this kind of stuff, or small hands, depending upon which way they want to sway you. But
yeah, that is actually pretty big. That's an iPad mini. So it's really the iPad as in a smaller form that you could use Skype to make phone calls with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That might actually be too big, but I don't know. I'll check it out.
Actually, you could use Skype, or because you have the 4G service, there's a couple of different apps that you would be able to use to make phone calls. I don't know that there's a native – guys, does anybody know, is there a native app on the iPad mini for making phone calls?
Yeah.
Okay, Pete says he's got the Galaxy 4S, and he said my 4S gets 17 hours of use on one charge, but the better the signal, the longer the charge lasts.
Okay.
So it's not working so hard to stay connected, in other words.
Yeah. Well, is he happy with it? I'm sure he is.
Are you happy with it, Pete?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, he says it's great. Okay, so that's that one.
Okay.
Now I'm going to go Galaxy 4S and just take a look at that picture.
It's a really nice looking phone.
Galaxy 4S.
And as he's doing that, I'm going to move on here.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then you just tell me when you figure it all out there.
Here we go.
Let's take a look at it.
That's the 3. I think that's the 4. Yeah, here's the S4. That doesn't have anybody's hand to put it in perspective. I want one with a hand. There we go. Just the 4. Oh, that's the 3. Oh, that's the 3.
Well, it's similar in size.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's real pretty. Okay.
Here we go. S4 right here, Dave. There you go.
There you go. So, yeah.
So now that screen. So look at these hands. I believe those are ladies' hands.
Yeah.
And that one. So.
Yeah.
The mini is definitely, you know, I don't know if you want something that big, but maybe you do, you know.
Maybe I do. Maybe I'll check it out, but I definitely
do carry a man purse?
No, I don't.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, I think a lot of people who have the Apple phone, they may be at the point, like me, similar, because people all think alike at the same time a lot of times. I've loved it. I've used it. I adore it, but I do need more screen space. I'm definitely at the point where I realize that. So.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. Let's quickly zip through. You know, the other day we had a setup that we talked about in Tesla, and I know a number of people who took advantage of this, and I'm very glad they did, off of a reflective wave bottom that occurred in Tesla back on June 24th, which was a date for many, many markets. And Tesla made a low on that day of 95.30. Today they've made a high of 110.25.
Wow.
So now that's a nice swing. This is why we like high price stocks, by the way. High price is anything, you know, not super high, but high price is anything probably over about $75. You're starting to get into bigger volatility, bigger swings.
Yeah.
So here's a swing that goes from, this is a $15 swing. Anyway, a nice move. They closed. Remember yesterday we talked, we said if they close above 104.60 or 105, whatever the number was, that they would be in a better position. They did, and they had another full day up today. So really nice setup here. We took some profits yesterday on the long side, and we'll continue to as the market continues to confirm. This is a great example of utilizing a setup in a reflected wave.
Richard says that he heard a rumor that Apple may buy Tesla. There's a rumor out there that Apple will
try
to buy
funny.
Tesla.
Well, it's funny that that is even out there. A lot of people associate, including the company founder, Elon, the car, the Tesla, is very Apple-esque. You know, they've made it very Apple-esque with the big screen and so on in there. And people love that car, and I encourage people to, with the proliferation, there's a big word, of the electrics coming out, go take a test drive in them and see, you know, whether they're the Chevy Volt or whether it's a pure electric, like the little Spark. The Spark is like the little brother to the Chevy Volt. It'll get you 90 to 100 miles a day. Most of us don't drive that far. You can do a lot of zipping around and never have to go to the gas station. I look at the gas stations as some kind of like wheel or tire changing place now. I mean, I don't even know what to think of them because I don't go to them. You know, so anyway,
Richard reframed his question from earlier. David, he had asked a question that we asked him to reframe it, and so he talked about Tesla and says, and here's a reframe: if we top out in the S&P at some point here, whether it's at 1614, 1618, or even higher, what's a level that you would be looking for as good support for a correction?
Oh, in other words, we come down from here. Well, our number, I've mentioned this many times, was 48 to 47, and we only got down to 53, and we read that. Maybe we just got the number wrong. I don't think so. But the 53 tells us that the market has a lot of pent-up buying pressure in it, so I would still stay with that number. 48, 47 is a very important level. That would, for us, open the door to it would open the door to it, but it would, if you got through it, it would imply that a much larger force was at work. 48 and 47 has more force in it than the decline that just happened. In fact, the decline couldn't even get to the level. It missed it by 4 or 5 points. And in this particular instance, it came along with a reflected wave bottom. So, you know, that number is what I'd be looking for, 48 to 47. So there you are. And then we'll move over real quick. I hope that answers it. Let me move over real quick to a few of the other markets here, and then we'll zip along.
Okay.
The U.S. dollar was one of the markets that did not do the 24th wasn't an easy and obvious. It was really sort of an inversion where they rallied up even further after the 24th rather than being a turn. And that is a reflected wave breakout, and some of our people went long based upon that occurring the other day. And so that's nice, and that leaves the market in a stronger position short term. The dollar's had a really powerful advance, and the euro a big one on the downside off of the June 10th reflected wave bottom. Those of you with that methodology can take a look and see that June 10th bottom. But there's a few other markets I did want to talk about. We had purchased Coco the other day and had a nice move up all the way. It's not a huge move, but up to 21.98. Then today they had a big decline, and we had a stop in at 21.35. They did not hit that. They may hit it tomorrow, but we've already booked some on this. But this is management of a trade. You don't just let it run down past a certain point that it shouldn't go. And if it does go, then you wouldn't want to be long. That's how you figure out where your stop is going to be.
Does this look – well, your chart's going to be different because you don't use Globex. But does this look like your chart – you got a price right now of 15.56 on Coco?
No, I don't. On September Coco.
I'm looking at a continuous chart, but it should still reflect
– Is that an hourly or what are you looking at there?
Oh, that's daily. But I'm just saying the current price at this moment is $15.56.
I'm showing Yeah, it's actually showing $21.48.
This must be something entirely. This is
that's
because
a
see when
thing.
I go for my symbols, I've got CCM Coco, and then I've got this Coco down here, which I never brought up before.
There's a lot of different coffees and cocos,
and there's a lot of different wheats. Let me go to this one. This one shows 22.10.
Okay, well,
this looks so splotchy, I couldn't believe that was actually...
I think that's a later market that has barely any in it. We're looking in September. That's where you want to be.
Let me just go CCMQ, no?
No, September for you. You?
Yeah, I don't have a U.
Okay.
I've got
your symbols
Q.
are different. I don't know. The symbols are different, but the month symbols are not. The September is September
there
for everybody.
There we go. Okay, right there, 22.10, and I'm in July.
Okay. Yeah, and we're out at September, and so that is, you're on the right market, though, I think, now, just the wrong month.
You know, that's for whatever reason. Okay, so I'll go dash MU3, and there we go. There it is. It just wasn't populating. There it is.
Okay, there you go. Let me take a look real quick at yours.
5,000 contracts traded today, 5,181.
Yeah,
current
okay.
price, 2147.
There you are. There you are. That's right. And then finally, let's see, last little market. We have a couple things, but I'm going to save them for tomorrow. Oh, so natural gas. Let me talk a little bit about natural gas here.
We have a question, too. Once you get done, we've got a question.
Well, just here's what it was. We had a reflected wave bottom in natural gas. The market, not only did we have a reflected wave bottom on the daily, we also had a weekly. So we had a lot of important things coming together in one juncture. This is a really common reflected wave trade for us. And normally, this market would reverse up, and there's very, very easy targets they would reach on the upside. So this market did stop us out at 367 today before they broke to new lows, and did break to new lows. And it's very possible that we're going to see somewhat lower prices here into potentially even tomorrow or Monday. So, yeah, there's no doubt this is an unusual move, and this is why we do use stops, is because when the unusual happens, and this is, we've seen this before, I would like to incorporate an automated stop and reverse at a certain level into my trading just for these setups. Not a stop and reverse, excuse me, a new entry that comes in, because our stop is going to get us out at a very small loss, and then we would be reversing at some point below. But either way, something unusual happens that you're not expecting, and you might say, hey, I've got everything going for me in this trade. And you get in, and you're just thinking it's the greatest thing. And it may well be the greatest thing. It may actually work out really well. But if it doesn't, you really have to have something in place to protect you from this type of move, the move we're seeing here. I'll sleep like a baby tonight because we didn't take any big horrendous loss on this. We simply stepped aside. I would have liked to have been on the short time side. I wasn't. But in the end, we'll figure out something to do with it. But if you are finding yourself in positions where you're grinding and worrying about them, and you've got huge drawdowns in these positions, that is not trading. In fact, you know, that is gambling. That's what you're doing. This shouldn't be hurting you. This shouldn't cause you grief. This should be able to be done the same way, and even maybe with less stress than your coworkers who work on regular jobs. How's that? That they come home, well, my boss said this and this, you know, or my, you know, they work at Vons and, you know, they're a checker or whatever. You could actually have less stress than those people when you do this right. Because I've been on the other side of this. I've had the kind of stress where I've told the story before where I was teaching my daughter. It was the day that she was learning to drive, and it was a wonderful day. Here's your, you know, your daughter's breaking into a whole new realm. She can transport herself from here to there driving a car. It should have been a wonderful day for me, and it was one of the crushingest days for me because of positions that I had been holding that had been just deeply against me already. And I called up Globex, and they spit out at me where the market was. And I mean, it was just horrible. And I just remember putting my head on the counter in the living room and just put my head down. And I'm just doing all this to myself. I'm causing all this grief. There's enough grief in life without you just working hard to make it happen by trading badly or investing badly. So I had to go through all that to get to the point where I know what I'm looking for, and I'm not looking for trouble. How's that? I know what trouble looks like, and I'm not looking for it. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the markets. So you have to get to that point, and then trading is much, much easier. It really is. Okay.
I'm familiar with a fellow by the name of Mark Rich of Glencore, Mark Rich and Pinky Green fame?
No, I don't know that. It almost sounds like Mark Ritchie, the guy that President Clinton pardoned.
I think that is the guy. Ritchie, born December 18, 34, passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
International commodities trader, hedge fund manager, financier, businessman, creator of the spot market for crude, became one of history's most financially successful commodities traders. best known for founding the commodities company Glencore and for being indicted in the United States on federal charges, tax evasion, and illegally making oil deals with Iran during the Iran hostage crisis. He was living in Switzerland at the time of the indictment, never returned to the U.S. He received a presidential pardon from U.S. President Bill Clinton on Clinton's last day in office.
Gosh, I wonder why he received that pardon, Dwayne.
I don't know. Maybe a lifetime supply of gas?
It could be that he donated a lifetime supply of gas to Hillary Clinton, but I think more likely he donated very heavily to the campaign. What do you think?
I'm thinking... Yeah, might be onto something.
Well, that's everything that I have.
There was a question about natural gas. Let me find it because I promised I would ask.
Okay.
Let me find it. Guys, if I missed a question that you've asked already, we reached the cutoff point. But if you already asked it and I missed it, don't try to trick me. Mm-hmm. You know what? You're going to have to put that natural gas trade question in again. Because I'm scrolling and not seeing it. So just please copy and paste it real quick. Frank says that his wife donated a ton of money to Clinton's campaign, and that is a researchable fact, something that you can just go on the Internet. It's public knowledge. So.
Oh, yeah, that's good to know. One last thing I'll say about the S&P while we're going here. You know, just by chance, if we don't break out to new highs in the next, you know, this next hour, as an example, because we may actually do that. But if we don't and we retest in the second 30 minutes of this hour, if we were to retest that 1607 and they firm up there, that may be an interesting spot for another buy because they just came back down to the 07 and 06 that we talked about earlier and tested it here. If they do it again, they may not. This is just one of those setups that I might just be interested in doing that again. You know, our move that we talked about earlier up to 13, and they got to 1250. But if they do in the second half of this hour, which is about starting about 27 minutes from now, if they were to retest 07 and firm up at there or the 05 that you talked about, I probably would be interested in buying that given the firming and all that stuff. So that's something maybe to think about because there is a possibility they'll break out before then. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some might look at this candle right here and go, hey, isn't that a bearish candlestick pattern? And the answer is no because of the context that it's in. If it were sitting up at the top here, the answer would be yes. This little double candlestick pattern here is bearish, and it did knock us down from the close of this candle at 1611. It knocked us down to 05, a six-point move. But here in this context, that's actually bullish. That is a continuation candle because of the context. And I'll go into that a little more after the show or tomorrow or something if anyone has any questions. But I just wanted to – I felt the need to share that. David, the question on natural gas, is the weekly bottom now negated?
Yes, I believe it is. And I will further confirm that tomorrow. But, yeah, this is a very big thing that happened in natural gas. It is quite unusual, and I would have liked to have been on the other side of this trade, and that helps me sharpen up my game for later and perhaps start utilizing setups for this kind of thing. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Inventories came out today.
Okay.
Natural gas inventories, and I've got them right here. So, guys, I use my little toolbar, and page is loading. Come on down. Well, it was moving pretty briskly there earlier. Not so much now. Oh, come on. Populate. I can't remember if the numbers came in better or worse than expected. No, I guess we're not going to find out either.
Okay.
All right, so you need to run?
I do. Thank you guys for the questions. I really appreciate that. Go ahead.
Nice. Yeah, it's like when you get out of a trade, you know, then it runs. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Natural gas. Here it is. Oh, it's still loading. Wow. A lot to load.
You know, that's funny that you just said that. I just want to say something while he's going through that. Is that
natural gas right here? It says. $95 billion. All right. Goodness gracious. That was a lot of work. The actual number was 95 billion cubic feet. The forecast was 88. The previous was 91. This number appears to be better than expected, but it's got a red arrow. We were puzzling over that this morning in the live trading room.
Uh-huh.
You follow, David? They were forecasting.
Sure.
And the more inventory you have, the lower the price, in theory, should be.
Uh-huh.
And so, okay, and so that's playing out. Okay, we had, there's more in inventory, there's more supply. And so in a supply and demand market, got lower prices. So
Okay. Right. No, it's very interesting. I was going to say that I want everybody to know, the same things that happens to every trader happened to me and continues to happen to me and probably every other trader. The only difference is my reaction to being in a trade and, like Jane said, yeah, you know, you get out and then they run them or whatever. My reaction may be different than yours. That's the difference. The fact of the thing happening, it happens. All kinds of things happen to a trader. And I get you think, oh, well, a trader, when he gets really, really good, these things don't happen to him. No, they do happen to him. But his reaction is quite different than yours. And he doesn't carry it on, and he doesn't let that taint or even improve necessarily his next trade. He simply moves on to his next trade. He's not looking at any one trade to make or break his manhood. He's not looking for any one trade to make or break his hero quality, his human quality. He's not looking for that. He simply is trading. He's simply investing, and sometimes these things happen. And so that's something for you to consider as well, that the same events happen to all the different people that are in markets. George Soros gets stopped out of a trade and the market runs. You know, all these things happen, but the reaction is different, and that means different meaning that there really is not much of a reaction. There isn't a carryover into the next whole trade and so on. Go ahead.
Beyond trading, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that that is exactly right, if not a higher percentage. So, okay, well, listen, thank you guys for the questions very much. Dwayne, I'll look forward to being here tomorrow. We'll have a great old time. And I may have a little news of my own to tell you.
So, oh, yeah? Well,
it's personal stuff. It's not business things, but it might be fun.
All right, I look forward to it.
All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Am I going to officiate?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'll see you tomorrow then.
All right. Thanks very much, you guys. See you soon. Bye.
Alright, guys, that's gonna pretty much wrap it up for me. I don't have to dash out the door right at the moment, but so if you have a question, type it in. I'll be happy to try to answer it for you. Let's look at the S&P one more time here. Let's recap what happened just today. We spent, what did I count up, 16 hours, I think, at the zone. Now, this is not unusual. If you're new to the program, new to CFRN, to consolidate in and around a weekly trading zone for an extended period of time is not unusual. You can go to the site, and there's hundreds and hundreds of charts on the CFRN website, on the blog, and you can even go to the CFRN Museum, which is at archive.cfrn.net. That's the really old stuff, going all the way back to 2006, 2007. It might even be something there from 2005, I'm not sure. But anyway, after the consolidation, and remember, that's what a weekly zone is all about. It's about a spot in the market where price is going to consolidate, coil, and think about what it wants to do next. And once we've established our presence at a zone, the only question then for me is, will price go to 16, 17/18, or will it go to 83/84. It's going to one of those. It might not get there today. It might not get there tomorrow. But I assure you that price is going to one of these two spots. We do believe that based on this setup, that it is going to try and go there today. Okay? But even if it fails, even if the market fails to get to 1718, that's okay. Because our tweet was at 1605. 1605 for us, by us, I mean the CFRN partners, anyone who has access to our weekly trading zones and understands our trading methodology, that would be the partners, or anyone who's currently on a free trial. At 1605, the market put us in a high probability position that it was going to attempt to go to 1718. Doesn't matter if it fails, doesn't matter if it can't make it all the way to 1718, just the fact that it tries creates tremendous opportunity. From 05, we traded all the way up to 16, 14, and a quarter, but just call it 14. That first push was 11 points, okay? 11 points. Remember, our daily goal, when we help new partners write their business plan, their trading plan, coach them through that, we encourage them to build it around a daily goal of a couple of points. And people always go, well, how much is a couple of points? Okay? It's $100 per contract. What? You expect me to live off $100? No. But what I want you to do is I want you to learn how to make $100 a day with one contract. And then eventually the goal is however many dead presidents you need. Gosh, we live in such a cashless society here. Let me reach into my desk drawer, pull out a Benjamin Franklin, that's right. So used to looking at credit cards and debit cards and checks. Ben, he's still hanging out on that bill. Okay, so Ben Franklin, however many Ben Franklins you want to make a day, you can do that with 2 points. You simply increase the number of contracts that you trade. See, times are good right now, and this 11-point move, if you're relatively new to trading, this doesn't look like anything, you know, that extraordinary. Oh, okay. You said 1605 and it went up to 14. Okay. Well, see, if you go back in time, not too far, this was greater than the entire daily range. Now, in 2005, 2006, when I started trading the S&P 500 E-mini futures, everyone was falling in love with it because it was so liquid and it had these great ranges and there was two-sided action. It doesn't matter if you were a seller at heart or a buyer at heart. Every day you had ample opportunity to make a nice profit because the volatility and the liquidity were present times a lot, okay? But then with the crash and the burn and the whole thing and the implosion of the economy and the housing, well, it got crazy for a while. It got out of control, and then the pendulum swung the other way, okay? And the liquidity stayed pretty good, but the volatility, in other words, the daily range, just dried up to – that's how we ended up trading things like crude and gold and soybeans in the live trading room. We needed a market that was actually moving so that we could teach traders how to trade. Follow me? We needed some volatility. Now, the volatility's back, and it's just beautiful. But it could dry up again. So we're not going to spend time teaching you how to get 11 points. Now, when there's an opportunity to get 11 points, I'm going to point it out. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to give you a tweet or a message, however I convey that to you. But the core philosophy that we teach you will never be about how to get 11 points a day, because the market doesn't make 11 points available every day. Doesn't make 8 points available every day. But I'll tell you what the market does make available. Good times, bad times, up, down, housing crash, whatever. Go back in history, and except for the days the market was closed for holidays and right after 9/11, and there may be some other couple of exceptions, but every day the markets have been open for regular trading, there has been greater than a 2-point range. Okay? So what does that mean to you? It means that if you understand a trading methodology that is built around getting a couple of points a day, then there's a high probability that you can get paid every day. Now, I can't guarantee you you're going to be successful or profitable in the markets on any day. No one can. And anyone who does make you those types of promises, you need to run from that person because they're up to no good, and their only interest is to separate you from your hard-earned cash. Okay, you may not always like what I tell you, but I'm always going to tell you the truth, or at least what I believe to be the truth. Okay, and the truth is, since I've been watching the markets and I've you know looked a lot farther back than 2005, since the inception of the S&P 500 E-mini futures, every day that the market has been open for regular trading, it has made more than 2 points available. So if you learn how to get 2 points out of the market, then a trading philosophy or methodology or system or strategy, or whatever label you want to give it, that is about getting a couple points, that creates the opportunity to get a couple points every day. Okay, I don't want to beat that to death, but it's so important. It's so critical. Getting 11 points, that's great, okay? But you can't do that every day. What you can do, if you're in the right place at the right time and step into the stream, the flow of opportunity at the right time, et cetera, there's an opportunity to get a couple points. All right? But back to where you said, oh, I can't live off $100. You don't have to. Well, you do for a while. Number one, if you become a partner, a CFRN partner, you enter into our mentoring program for 90 days. By the way, there's a very popular training program out there. Price tag $7,000. It lasts for 5 days. Okay, it's a 5-day class. And I've been told by many of the students that went through that program that it's a good program, that it's a good class. It's a 5-day, I'm not going to call the name. They have commercials on TV. But we have a lot of partners who have told us that, hey, I went and it was, you know, they told me what I was going to get. I agreed to pay for it, and I got what I paid for. I got what they told me I was going to get. However, I still need to learn how to trade. I know a lot about the markets. I didn't know before I took that class. But I still need to know how to actually put on and take off trades. So that's where we come in. We try to help you actually put the principle and the theory and the ideas into practice. We want you to be able to, after 90 days, read a chart. We don't want you to be dependent ever again. And not everybody gets it nailed in 90 days. So that's why we allow anybody that wants to stick around for a small maintenance fee. You can stay on as long as you want. In fact, we want you to stay. We love building a, you know, a community. That's one of the great things about what we do, is it's a community of believers who trade for a living. We share a common bond. We share a common language. We're going to spend eternity together, all right? That's the bottom line. And there's no maintenance fee required for that, for the eternity part. So, $100 a day, can't live on that. We want you to stay in the simulator until you're consistently profitable. I had this conversation with someone yesterday. Even though we insist that partners stay in the simulator until they're consistently profitable, we can't control what you do. We can't make you not go live. We're going to tell you again and again and again, don't do it. But inevitably, here's what happens. People try, you know, for a couple days or a week or 2 weeks to get the knack of grabbing a couple points in the simulator, and they don't quite get the hang of it. They come close, they get a point, point and a half, you know, and then they go negative, and then they do some revenge trading or whatever, you know. I don't have to tell you, know what happens, all right? And so after about the second week, they go, hey, you know what? This isn't working out. I need to go live. That's the warning bell sounding, okay? No, that's not what you should do, is go live. What you should do is learn how to be consistently profitable in the simulator. Well, you know, I just believe that if I go live and there's real money on the line, then I'll actually sit up and pay attention, and I'll take it more serious, and I'll be more focused, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? None of that's true. Okay? But yet I see people do it over and over. Instead of reading the writing on the wall, which says you're not ready to go live yet because you're not consistently profitable in the simulator, instead of reading the writing on the wall, they do the opposite. It's human nature. I did it, okay? When I was learning how to trade, I was in SEM for like 2 hours. I don't even know if it was that long. I think I took one trade in SEM and went live with 10 contracts. I was told not to do that. I was warned what would happen if I did. Pretty soon, I was trading 20. It wasn't too long before I was trading other people's money. If I kept lumping all this stuff on, boy, I knew somehow that was going to eventually make me successful. I'll tell you what it did. It turned me into a basket case. Okay? The financial damage wasn't that bad. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't that bad. Yeah, okay, it was bad, but not horrific. The psychological damage, whoa, man. That was a biggie. Okay? So what we're trying to do is, yeah, we're trying to keep you from blowing up your account and losing, you know, money, hard-earned cash. We're also trying to prevent you from years of trying to heal from the wounds, the psychological wounds that you'll create for yourself if you don't do this thing right. So 2 weeks, you're still struggling to be consistently profitable in the simulator. Don't go lie. You know, come to us for help. Ask for some private mentoring. Do whatever it takes to figure out what it's going to take for you to become consistently profitable in the simulator. And oftentimes, it's something very obvious. You just need another set of eyes. You know, if you're trading with Daniel's Trading and Bert's your broker, Bert and Leslie, he can look over your shoulder all day long and see exactly what you're doing and what you're not doing. And when you make a trade that's not in line with what we teach, you know, if you've given him permission, he'll get a hold of you and go, hey, I was looking at that trade you just took. Could you explain to me what motivated you to do that? Now, he's not going to be harsh with you or laugh at you. No. He's calling to help you. He'll say, can you explain to me what you were thinking as you entered that trade? And so then you'll go, well, I saw this and I saw that. Or all the indices started to move higher at the same time, so I thought it would be, you know, a good time to get in. And he'll say, well, I understand that line of thinking, but let's go back to the criteria. Let's go back to the actual, you know, setup. There's five pieces to the pie. I'm going to walk you through them here in just a second. Now, here's what happens. Some people, they're not consistently profitable after a couple of weeks. They get antsy, they get bored. They convince themselves going live will fix it. So they go live, but I'm only going to go live with one. Just one. And I'm screaming, no, don't do it. But they go live with one. Okay? Guess what? That doesn't fix it. They're still not consistently profitable. So guess what the next story is they tell themselves? Well, you know, it's because it's like it's only $100. So I'm not really firing on all cylinders. I need enough skin in the game so that it really matters. So you already lied to yourself once, and you've ended up trading live with one contract, and you've now lost X amount of dollars because you didn't get the foundation right. And so you're way out on a limb, and you're looking for anything to save you. And so you convince yourself that if you up the number of contracts, that'll fix it. That'll fix everything. In fact, look at what I've been doing some figuring, okay? Oh, boy. I've been doing some figuring, all right? And if I figured out that if I go, you know, if I skip all that whole simulator thing and that one con, if I just go straight to 20 contracts, I don't need 2 points a day. I only need 2 ticks. Here, look, it's a function of math. Like you say, Duane, it's a function of math. Look, it's right here in front of you. If I got the money in my account, I'll just trade 20 contracts. I don't need to get, oh, that 2 points, that's for suckers, man. I'm just going to get 2 ticks. And I'm out there screaming, no, don't do it. And then people do it. Why? I don't know. I know I did it, and I can't tell you why I did it. Sometimes with my daughter, she's 5, she'll be 6 next month, and she gets in trouble. I'll say, honey, why did you do that? I don't know, Dad. I'm like, no, wait a minute. You knew the consequences of your actions. You knew if you did that. I warned you just an hour ago that if you did this, this is what was going to happen. Didn't I? Yes, Dad, you did. I told you if you did this, this was going to happen. Yeah, Dad, that's what you said. So, honey, why did you do it? I don't know, Dad. I just did. After I was warned not to go live till I was profitable, why did I? I don't know, Dad. I just did. Did it fix anything? Nope. Made a mess out of my life. It'll make a mess out of yours, too. Okay? Our goal is to save you the pain, the misery, and the expense. Between Michael and I don't think there's a mistake you can make in the markets that we haven't made. There's also not a methodology, an indicator, or a thing that makes noise in the night that we haven't used or written a version of ourselves, or some of that stuff we did create. We don't claim it anymore, but we did. And so we've tried to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator so that a person can come in, they can learn some basics, they can learn how to read a chart. Every candle on this chart in front of me right now, this hourly chart, and I could, if it was a 1 minute chart, I'd say the same thing, or daily chart. Every candle tells a story. You just need to learn to listen to the story that's being told. Sometimes there's so many stories being told that the chart gets really, really noisy, and you either need to have some super skills that allow you to read the noise, or you need to know it's time to step away and then come back. Okay? Now, I said I was going to show you on the 4-tick range the 5 steps to the trade. I know that Michael does it every day in the live trading room over and over. Then he comes on the show here and does it on the recap over and over. But you were able to see during the radio program today, you were able to see in real time a trade unfold against the bigger picture backdrop. Okay? Price had broken through 1605 to the upside. It ran up to 1614. The market made 11 points available. Price began to pull back. I'll put this up here, not that it's really germane to this conversation. The pullback was the 50% Fibonacci retracement. If you haven't read my series of articles on Fibs, just Google CFRN Fibs. And it'll take you to them wherever they've been published. Okay, I think they're all on our blog. That's where they originated. So this is a 50% retracement back to this area here. Now, keep in mind that last night when I put the 1605 out as the trigger to get long the tweet, this 50% retracement wasn't part of that scenario because it hadn't happened yet. Okay, this is fresh information. All right. This is why I say it's a great confirmation tool, Fibs. It's just not a standalone methodology. All right. Okay. So, as price was pulling back to 1605, I said, as I do, you know, buyers may step in early to run this thing back up. Well, why would they step in early? Well, because the last time they were able to buy at this price, 1605, they were handed 11 points fairly easily. There was not a lot of resistance. Just kind of glided right on up there. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we go to smaller time frames, there was definitely pullbacks along the way. But for the most part, looking at it from the, you know, bigger picture perspective, you know, a little higher altitude, instead of standing down on the street, we're up on top of a building looking down. That's what I, you know, compare the hourly chart to. Daily chart, maybe you're flying over, right? But you're on the hourly, you're just up on top of the tall building looking down. So prices pulling back, I say maybe they're going to come in a little bit early. All right, so we know 1605 is the important area because that was the tweet from last night. So we go to the four tick range chart, okay, right here. Let me walk you through the steps. Step number one, we need a bullish cross, and that's what we get right there. The blue line, the CFMA1, which is the backbone of the CFRN indicator set, it's our primary indicator. Number one, well, this isn't part of the setup, but it's going to turn blue before it crosses. That's just a given, okay? It's going to turn blue first. But what you're looking for is the bullish cross. You need the CFMA1 to be above, north of the green line, the BBC, which is the bull bear cross line, okay? That's step one, bullish cross. Now, where did, oh, let's not leave this part out. Did they come in early? They did. They came in at 1605 and a quarter. Remember, the number was 05, but we said any of them might come in early, all right, because this is a high probability setup. That's why they would come in early, and they did. They came in early, created the cross, okay, price pulled away, price pulled back, okay? Those are the first three steps, bullish cross, right here, price pulls away, right here, price pulls back, right here. The only thing now is we need an up close. That would be the fourth thing. But do we need to close above this trend line? Well, the final part of the equation, step number five, we need to glance down here to make sure we have bullish divergence. Because even though these four steps have all come together, the fifth piece of the puzzle has to be present. And in this case, that fifth piece would be bullish divergence. If we were looking to take a short trade, we would need bearish divergence. And how do we determine bullish divergence? The blue line is at the top. The green line is at the bottom. The cycle line. Now, this is called the cycle line, and it doesn't have to be blue. It can be red. Okay. If it changes color, then we need a close above the trend line. As long as it stays blue, okay, we don't need a close above the trend line. We just need an up close, which is what we got. Price pulled away, and then price pulled back to the BBC, the green line. All we need now, because this is still blue, it hasn't changed colors, we need an up close. Okay, the up close came in at 1608 and a quarter. So if we're going to buy the open of the next candle, we're going to buy 1608 and a quarter. The drawdown, hang on. Okay. Oh, you know what, guys? I got to send another text too. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm just telling people to hang on because I want to get through this and then I'm going to have to run. Okay. All right. So remember, we needed an up close. So we're going to buy the open of this candle. Oh, come on, guys. Let me just turn the sound down. All right. Okay, do you see this up close? We're going to buy the open of the next candle, 1608 and a quarter. We get a drawdown to 1607 and a quarter. We only risk 2 points. We never risk more than 2 points on a slingshot trade intraday using the 4-tick range chart. We never risk more than 2 points. And most days we spell never correctly. All right? We never risk more than 2 points intraday on the slingshot trade. So you had a 1-point drawdown, this candle right here, and the trade took off. Okay? The initial swing high was up at 1611. So from 08 and a quarter, the entry, to 11, that was 2¾ points. Remember, we're going to teach you to have a daily goal of a couple points. This was it right here. Using the larger picture backdrop of this 1605 and then executing on the 4-tick range chart so that we only have to risk 2 points. Okay? If you trade off an hourly chart or an 8-tick range or 12-tick range or a larger time frame, you've got to risk more. But the 4-tick range allows you to only risk 8 ticks. No matter which market, we never risk more than 8 ticks. There was a 4-tick drawdown on this trade. Then it gave up, let's call it 3 points, 12. It gave up 11 ticks, all right? Then it pulled back to the BBC, and then it gave another entry to be long, and then it pulled back again and gave another entry to be long. Okay. The total, the swing high was 1612 and a half. And so from 1608 and a quarter to 1612 and a half, this trade, if you stayed in it the whole, all the way up, was 4¼ points. If you took two, bought the pullback, took some, bought the pullback and took, I mean, you could have gotten more than 4¼ points out of this. No. But that requires getting out of the swing high, getting back in. You're exposing yourself to the market multiple times. Remember, you can make as much money as you want to make with 2 points. You don't need to expose yourself to the market multiple times. You can if you want to. If that's how you build your business plan and your trading plan, okay. But you don't have to, all right? Ultimately, this thing ran 4¼ points. Then the market decided it needed a deeper retracement. Okay? So it came back and it did this and did this and did this. But we're not really concerned with any of that because why? Well, because we already got our 2 points over there, right? Right here, here's a bearish cross. Oh, let's see. After the bearish cross, we didn't really get a pull away. Yeah. In fact, it's just now setting up for the short trade. The bearish cross came back here, okay? But there was never a pull away until right there. Now it's pulling back. We are setting up with some bearish divergence, okay? So this is a trade you can take on the short side, but I wouldn't. Why? Because 1605, we expect that to be good support until proven otherwise. See, when it came back to test 1605, it ran all the way. Now, on the 4-tick range, we didn't have an entry until 1608 and a quarter. All right, but at 1605 and a quarter, that's where the buyers came in, and they ran it up to 1612 and a half. So from 05 and a quarter to 12 and a quarter, it was actually 7 points in this move using the 4-tick range. You had an opportunity to get your two, no worries, and you could have hung in there and got more if you wanted to. It's coming back to 1605 again. Is it possible to test, once, twice, three times? Sure. We've seen it test multiple times over the course of, until 1605 is no longer support, until this happens right here. Price breaks through. Price pulls back to test it as resistance, right? Here, it proved itself to be support to the tune of 7 points. If it's going to fall through 1605, I want to see it pull back. and do this. Well, what if it doesn't pull back? I might miss the trade. Okay, you might. You'll miss trades. That's just part of, just like you'll get stopped out, you'll miss trades. Okay? This is about finding high probability setups in the market. Only taking the high probability setup and looking for a couple points a day. You can write a paycheck as big as you want off of 2 points a day if you build your business properly, step by step. No shortcuts, okay? Shortcuts, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. Nothing good comes out of the shortcut. You gotta do the work. You know, the right way is rarely the easy way or the fun way or any of that. Gold has dipped below $1,200. First time since August of 2010. Gold stocks are up despite the sell-off in precious metals. That's weird. Go figure. All right, let me see real quick if there's any questions. Let's see, I got a lot of comments. Dwayne, that's not 11 points. From 1605 to 1614, how many points is that? Oh, you're right, it's 9. Thanks. Thanks for pointing that out. 1605 to 16, the swing high is 14. 9. The swing high was 14 and a quarter. It's actually 9 and a quarter. You're right. Thank you very much for pointing that out, Steve. This is 9 and a quarter. We'll call it 9, but it's 9 and a quarter, not 11. That's why Michael does the math for us. He's the math guy. Thank you, Steve. If it bounces off 1605 again, would you buy? Absolutely, Karen. If I get a buy signal over here, if all the criteria is met, and see, I'm not interested in this short trade because until that 1605 is broken and held on a pullback, I still got to think that the market is going to attempt to accomplish its original objective. And the original objective, once it broke 1605, for me, was a trip up to 1718. If it fails to do that, that's okay. The fact that it tried created a nice opportunity twice now for us to take some points out of the market. But if it comes back and tests 05 again, it might even spike it just a little bit. And it might turn around right here. It might not come all the way back to 05. So I'm just going to watch this chart. And if this chart gives me a long trade, I am very interested in taking that trade all the way up to 1617. If I was going to be trading, if I was still in the market, if I still needed to get a couple points. You see what I'm saying? But look what happened. The black line just got pulled up into the green line. No longer, the short trade is no longer even valid. Okay? That's how you use that bigger picture backdrop to keep yourself out of these kinds of trades. Okay? All right, real quick, let me see if there's any other questions. RG, I see your message there, but I'm not sure if that was a question. RG, unlike a lot of trading programs, we don't make you any promises, okay? We don't promise you that you're going to make X amount of money. We don't promise you that you're going to make X amount of points because we have no control over that. Here's what we do. We commit that for the next 90 days, we are going to do everything in our power to teach you everything that we know about trading e-mini futures. The fact that I am here on my own time, not getting paid, to share information with traders should give you an idea that I'm pretty serious about my mission. I take it pretty seriously. That's why I'm up at 5 in the morning, and that's why I'm still up at 1, 2 in the morning at my desk working when my family stands in the doorway of my office and goes, "Have you completely forgotten us?" And I keep saying, "Guys, just hang on, okay? I'm doing something that's really important, and it's for you. It's for you guys." And you know what? They keep saying, "How long are you going to keep saying it's for us?" And so that's all going to have to draw to a close at some point. All the extra time. Now, I'm not going to stop committing to the partners. I've made my commitment to the partners, and that is what Michael and I are going to do. But like here, right now, just hanging out, it's because I care. Okay? So we don't, and because I care, I don't make promises I can't keep. So to tell you that, you know, you're going to learn to make X dollars a day in your underwear or so many points, we've never gone there, we'll never go there. It's like I said earlier today on the show, I can teach you how to play baseball, but I can't guarantee you that you're going to become a baseball player. The information that I give you, I can't guarantee you what you're going to do with the information I give you. We simply teach you how to trade the market. We teach you our setup. We give you our indicators for life. We give you access to our video training library for 90 days. It's 500 hours of video in there, including the live trading room sessions. The end of the 90-day period, if you would like to continue to come into the live trading room, have access to the library, and receive the weekly trading zones every Monday before the market opens, and which, by the way, I've had more than one partner tell me that receiving those weekly trading zones every Monday morning before the market opens was worth more than the price of admission for them. It may or may not be for you. Time will tell. So that's our guarantee right there. We're going to commit 90 days of our life to teaching you everything we know about trading e-mini futures. For us to guarantee you anything beyond that would be wrong. And anyone who offers you a guarantee beyond that is wrong, because what it does is it sets you up to fail. It creates an unrealistic expectation in you, okay? And so we won't do it. We won't go there, never have, never will. That's just not how we roll, okay? We want to do the right thing. We're ultra transparent. We're always available by phone, by email, by instant message, by private go-to meeting. Again, we both work way too many hours, and we're gonna have to really focus on how we're going to scale that. We've let this thing get out of control because we're so passionate about what we do. But in the interest of our own health, our own mental well-being, and preserving our families, and it's biblical, that our families, God comes first, but our families come next. And sorry, guys, but you got to come third. God first, family second, partners third. I don't know that the partners part is biblical, but I think it is when it starts to talk about your neighbor. Who is your neighbor, you know? So, okay, let me see if there's any other questions. And I got to get going. Am I in a trade now, Karen? No, I'm not in a trade now. Because, see, 1605, okay, right here, price already went up 9 points, thanks, Steve, not 11. There's no reason for me to be in a trade now. None. No reason. No reason to be in a trade right now. I'd be tempting fate. I would have seen, if I'd have got in over here at 1605 and watched this thing go up to 1614 and then just stayed in there because I was like stubborn and wanted to make it go to 17, man, I just feel sick to my stomach here when it pulled all the way back to 1605 and I had nothing. Then it got up here and it's like, oh yeah, I'm right. I'm going to show this market. And that pulls back again. I lived my life like that for a while. I choose not to live my life that way anymore. It's not worth it. It's just not. Okay. So let's see. Is there any other question? Okay. I'm back up to the natural gas could drop as low as 347, according to a senior news analyst at DTN. Okay. Now I'm scrolling back down. Still going. RG, the course you speak about, the course is what we teach you every day in the live trading room. The course is what we teach you every Thursday night in the partners meeting. When you go through 500 hours of video, that's the course. It's a living course. You can buy books all day long in a bookstore. You can buy DVDs, you know, videos. If that's the type of course you want, those types of courses are available. And we could do that, but we prefer to be a living example. Rather than hand you that tested data, you know, because it's so easy to manipulate data, curve fit data. Gosh, anybody, you know, with a $300 computer from Walmart can do that. We would prefer to be a living example to trade real money in real time in front of real people. And people who really want to learn how to trade for a living, that's what they want. We could have gone any number of different ways with our program when we created it. We decided to go the way that was the most meaningful. Trading real money in front of real people in real time. Do you still get the weekly trading zones after the 90 days? If you decide to remain an active partner, the monthly maintenance fee, $75 a month, you still get to come to the live trading room, you still get to come to the partners meetings, you still have access to the video library, you still get the weekly trading zones every Monday morning before the market opens. Our goal is to teach you how to trade, and you know what, this program, this course, it's not for everybody, okay? I'll be the first one to tell you that, the first. This is not for everybody. What we have to offer, not for everybody, okay? There's a million different ways to trade the markets. There's all kinds of goofy indicators you can follow, things that go cluck in the night. You can chase gurus and all this kind of stuff who'll tell you when to get in and when to get out. We're not a trade calling service. Our goal is to make you an independent trader, to teach you how to trade so that you can pick up a chart and read it just like you hear me do every day and tell you where price is going and why it's going there. Okay? Not based on any kind of mysticism or black arts, but on the information that's readily available right in front of you on the chart. Problem is, most people have never been taught where to look for it and how to see it. This is what allows people in this industry to pull the wool over your eyes and trick you out of, you know, first one course and then another course and then another. We don't have any other courses. In fact, when you become a partner, part of the agreement says that any indicator we create in the future, you're grandfathered in. You get all the indicators. And the only reason, now there's two reasons people stay on after their 90 days. They like the camaraderie and the sense of community. That's one reason. The other reason is they still need some hands-on training, so we make that available. Pete says, Dwayne, please tell these guys that I've never found the level of support and dedication that I found with the CFRN team, or really anywhere else for that matter, and that comes from a 50-year-old fellow. Let me just use the word fellow. How about that, Pete? I learn much more with you here in the free program than I can in the live trading room. Well, that's because in the live trading room, we're simply putting on and taking off as many trades as we can during the two-hour period so that you can see how to spot the setup as it's coming around the bend, how to be prepared, how to check all the, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, number five, okay, and how to enter. That's the purpose of the live trading room, is to show you the setup over and over and over, repetition, so that you get it. The partners' workshops on Thursday night, that's where we slow down. We're not trading live in the market, and we have a ironclad guarantee that we never, ever leave a partners' meeting on Thursday night with unanswered questions. That's if there's an answer to the question. Now, what's the meaning of the universe? Well, I'm not qualified to answer that. I got some pretty good ideas. Got them out of the book. But you know what I mean. Okay, as far as the course goes, I do not want to read another book or watch another video. It sure sounds like you do. But I guess I was looking for at least a step through, just as you said now, you want us to learn the method, and that's what we teach you. We teach you the method. I just got done showing you the method. For a long trade against a bigger picture backdrop, bullish cross, price pulls away from the BBC, price pulls back to the BBC. If you have bullish divergence and the cycle hasn't changed color, you buy the open of the next candle, you take 2 points out of the market, and then you go do whatever it is that God created you to do. God didn't create you to trade the markets. He's got a bigger calling on your life. For some, it's to be a missionary. We have a lot of missionaries in our midst that are partners. But not everyone is called to go and live overseas and do different things. Some of us are called to be ministers. I don't mean from the pulpit preaching. I mean ministers, followers, right in our own neighborhood, right where we work. That's what marketplace ministry is all about. The new show that we're doing, Releasing Kings for Ministry in the Marketplace, the book written by John Garfield, one of our CFRN partners, and Dr. Harold Eberle. That's what their book's all about. It's about taking the gospel into the marketplace, into your school, into political office, into where you work. Okay? We're often told that, you know, as believers, we're supposed to pray, get saved, and then just gut it out till we die because we're guaranteed a place in eternity. And you know what? That actually works. I mean, that's all true. But there's so much more. God called us all to so much more than that. And that's what I want to do, is I want to be in a position to encourage people to seek God and to find out what that calling is on your life. This trading business, this is just a means to an end. This is not the end in and of itself. Ministry costs money. Real money. And there's only two ways to get that money. Ask for donations or generate the income yourself. And that's what we use the markets for, is to generate income so that we can do the things that we've been called to do. Now, my wife and I, we were called to build an orphanage, but not everybody's called to that. Each life has a unique calling. And that's something for you to sit with your clergy, your pastor, your priest, you know, whoever it is that you talk about those kinds of things with. Most of all, it's a place you find the answer to in your own prayer closet, in the quiet time. That place you go where God says, be still and know that I am God, and you say, yes, sir. And you just listen. Let him speak to your spirit, from his spirit to yours. Jerry asked, do you think gold is a good buy point for a short-term bounce? Jerry, I don't really have time. That sounds horrible. Let me look real quick. Let's see. At GG. We drop down to an hourly chart. I don't like the way that looks at all. I don't like that either. I'm not comfortable recommending a buy in gold here. It very well could be, but I looked, but I'm going to pass on that. Yeah, sure, RG. I'd be happy to talk to you. Homer, God bless you, brother. Homer says, I'm 83, I'm learning to trade, and I'm enjoying the process. And I got to tell you something, Homer, you're such a blessing to have in that prayer meeting every morning and in the partners meetings, just knowing you're there. There's a couple guys like you that are partners that give me a certain sense of peace. And I know that comes with your maturity and with your walk. And I just feel, I'm thankful and just, I feel privileged and honored to have you around. Okay. I really do. Dan, is the $75 a month on a monthly basis? It is. If you want to pay it annually, we give a little price break for that. But you can just pay it monthly. Kevin says, I appreciate Pete. However, as you say, 90 days is not enough for most. No, I didn't say that, Kevin. I didn't say that 90 days is not enough for most. I said that for some people, they have not learned to be consistently profitable in 90 days. That's the truth. I didn't say most, though. And can only trade it on one broker software versus being able to use it on Ninja or TradeStation. Well, this is our training program, and we chose to be loyal to one broker and one platform. And again, you want to use, I guess, Ninja or TradeStation. There's all you got to do is Google. There's tons of people that will teach you how, you know, some kind of a trading methodology that embraces the Ninja and the TradeStation platform. So the fact that we simply chose to build our training program around the DT Pro platform, I know you've been trying to fault us for that for months, and I don't know why. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we decided, it's just like, you know, Burger King decided that they didn't want to sell chicken. When they opened up their doors and started selling franchises, you know, I've never seen anybody out there protesting because Burger King doesn't sell chicken. We don't sell chicken. We just have burgers and fries. And also, I don't like it that you don't teach or provide the weekly trading zones. Well, again, that's not part of what we offer in the training program. Okay? There might be a day when I decide to teach that. I don't know if I will or if I won't. For those who become partners, every Monday morning, I am privileged and honored to be able to give those who have chosen to be a part of our community, every Monday morning I'm able to give them a little gift, a little bonus, a little thank you, an attaboy, a pat on the back, a handshake that says, thank you for being a part of this community. To show you my appreciation, here's some zones you can use this week. Maybe it'll help you out a little bit in the market. That's how I view the weekly trading zones. They were never meant to be a part of the package. And other than, I give them away as a free gift to every partner every Monday morning before the market opens. Nope, RG. On the page where you go to sign up, it tells you everything that's included. So, okay, looks like I've exhausted all the questions. Guys, you need to learn to be consistently profitable in the simulator. Okay? You don't move beyond that. Our goal is to help you learn how to get a couple points a day. I can teach you how to I can teach you how to play baseball, but I can't make you a baseball player. The typical 5-day training course in this industry is $7,000. And that's just like a beginner course to upsell you to the next course. We don't have another course. We charge less than, well, we charge half that, basically. Yeah, less, it's less than half. We charge less than half that for 90 days and access to 500 hours of training videos. I'm not going to get on the defensive at all because I know that we under-promise and over-deliver in everything that we do. And I know that no one can make all the people happy all the time, and we don't try. We're very open and transparent. This is what we've got. This is what we offer. This is what we do. If it's for you, that is so awesome. Glad to have you on board. If it's not for you, we'll still come out and hang out with us, participate in the radio program, ask questions, hang out after the show. Maybe you'll pick up a couple little tidbits here and there. That's how it should be. Nothing more, nothing less. Paul, thank you so much for your kind comments. Charlie, thank you so much. Alan, God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. All of you guys. You know, I said this earlier, you know, God first, family second. But those of you who are partners, you really don't know what an important part of my life you are. And I can't really speak for Michael, or I can, but I should let him speak for himself. But I know how he feels. And you guys really are an important part of our life. We believe in multiple income streams. I explained that the other day in a blog post. You as a trader, you need multiple income streams in your life. That's what the new radio program, not Releasing Kings, but the other radio program I'm about to start, that will be about helping you develop other income streams in your life. Go read any of the books written by the greats, from Warren Buffett to Donald Trump, to any of them, and they'll all tell you, you must have multiple income streams. So we have income streams from trading. We have income streams from our educational business. We have advertising income. We both have real estate income. Now, I don't have a high school diploma. I blew up my life at the age of 37. I reached the end of myself. In fact, I asked God to take my life. I didn't try to take it myself, but I was so exasperated with myself and with everything going on in my life that I asked God if he would take it. And you know what he did? He actually took me up on my offer. He took my, because I willingly surrendered it with a broken and contrite spirit, he did take my life. He took it and made something out of it. And I walk every day with a humble heart because of that. Because he could have let me go. I had not been faithful to him, but he remained faithful to me. When I was ready to lay it all down, he was there waiting. Just like the story of the prodigal son. He'd been there every day, down at the edge of the property, looking down the road. Oh, is he coming home today? Is he coming home today? And that night, standing outside of that dumpster at 9:30 p.m. at 16th Street and Thomas behind Burger King, where they don't sell chicken, he was there. And he said, son, I'm so glad you've decided to come home. And has it all been perfect and magical? And no, it's been hard. It's been tough. But I've had a comfort, a peace that surpasses all understanding. So many times people get the misconception that if they'll just lay down their vices, lay down their way of living, and surrender and believe, get saved, give up all the good stuff, God promises them smooth sailing from that point on. No. There's never a promise that once you surrender your life to God, that there will be no storms. There is a promise that you can have peace amidst the storm. In the worst raging storm, you can know a peace that surpasses all understanding. But you have to ask for it, and you have to accept it. And then you have to live it out. Your faith is not what you believe. Your faith is what you do with what you believe. Faith, contrary to modern language, is not a noun. It's a verb. Faith, pistis. It's an action verb. It's about getting up, getting busy. That's what I got to do. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision. CFRN's commentary, insight, and trade ideas are published by numerous financial sites across the internet, and it flows primarily from the desk and pen of our very own Leslie Burton. E-mini market expert, trainer, and options broker, Leslie has 24 years' experience in the futures markets, monitoring the various indicator packages and systems that both professional and retail clients use. She learned her trade from the old school pit warriors, who had nothing more than hand-graphed charts to formulate trades. She has been broker for many CTAs, such as Michael Cavallo, one of the famous turtle traders of the 80s. You can find Leslie's impressive resume at CFRN.net. While you're there, check out our blog each and every trading day for Leslie's take on what happened today and, more importantly, what to look for tomorrow. If you have a breaking financial story, call Leslie at 1-866-928-3310.